about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Hello, I'm Joanna Rohrbeck of Prancercise LLC, and I'm here today to show you the four modes of Prancercise. I've got my ankle weights in place, and my music's ready. So let's stop talking and do some walking.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Doobie doobie doo. Nobody likes you, cause you all smell like poo.
Wow, that is a very savvy analysis right there.
Fire beer mug.
I hate him so much.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, when you get a second, stop looking at my boob.
Roll another one.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
Just like the other one.
That's not true.
This one seems to be about to quit.
No, I enjoy young people.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
My eyes. My eyes.
Roll another one.
They're all doing great. Except for Kevin.
Just like the other one.
He's not so much with the talking.
This one seems to be about to end.
Loved Mikhail's name.
I don't have another cent.
Okay, here's the deal. It's crazy boring. It lasts forever. You never issue
it.
That's simply unacceptable.
Just pass it around. That's not brown rice. But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
What is happening?
Just pass it on down.
I got up at 5:30 in the a.m. this morning. 5:30 in the goddamn a.m. Y'all want to know why?
Our feature presentation.
Because of us?
No,
because you have to work. Right. Of course, because you have to work. What does it mean to turn your head down? Exactly.
I'm not sure that was the best conceived comeback ever.
I laughed. Turn your head down.
At the same time, you were laughing at me. I was laughing at me in that case. I don't know. It's just I hate beer mug so much, and anytime he says anything, I just want to destroy him, and that's all I
have. You hate him unaturally. I mean,
I do.
There's a lot of times when stuff's not his fault that you just go crazy.
Everything's beer mug's fault because he exists in the world.
I know in comedy that's true, but in reality it really isn't.
I want him dead so much.
All right.
I really do.
So turn his head down.
I want to turn his head down. I want to turn his whole body down. Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Friday. I like these four-day weeks very much. Seems like a good deal. That's Friday already.
Yeah.
Got an awesome story to start with. Celebrities are not like us because they're, celebrities. And people are, we're the same way. We're very interested in what celebrities do. And it's a little easier if you're a famous person that people like. And I bring to you the example of Quincy Pondexter, who plays for the Memphis Grizzlies, who, as you know, were until very recently in the NBA playoffs. Very popular player. Has been in the league 2 or 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And he decided that he wanted to date Miss Tennessee.
Okay.
Now, if you or I see Miss Tennessee on the TV and go, man, she's hot.
That's the end of it.
That's as far
right.
as it goes.
That's
right.
As far as we can go.
Right. We can masturbate to her or we can forget about her. Those are the only two options we have.
Wow, that just went south.
What?
You're right, but true.
You're right, but go ahead.
That's all we got, right?
All right, yes.
So Quincy Pondexter, being a famous NBA star, he's smooth, and he goes on Twitter, which is where the only things that matter in the world happen anymore.
Sure.
And what do you think his line is? How do you think you're him, and you see her, and you want to date her, and you know you have a chance because you're a professional NBA player. What's your opening line? How do you handle that? What do you type to get her attention? Probably, yeah, what's up?
Probably
so
just
you,
that. So you would write directly to her and say, yeah, what's up? That
well,
would be
I
your...
would write to her. Yeah. Who else would you write to?
Lisa, you're a lady. I'm sure you've had to evaluate lots of opening lines from lots of guys throughout the years. What's the best approach in this case? If you don't know this person and they're reaching out to you on Twitter, how should they handle it to make you interested?
Well, I imagine it would be I saw you and I can't get you off my mind. Not creepy stalker. Let's talk.
Well, here's what Mr. Podnister
You must wrote. Be tired because you've been running through my mind all night.
Mr. Poindexter didn't address her directly. He just tweeted, who won Miss Tennessee this year? How smooth is that, by the way?
Just like he just wanted to know for any reason?
Who won Miss Tennessee this year? Very casual. That's just backing into the room, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Miss Tennessee, who's Miss TN 2012, Chandler Lawson, writes him directly and says, hi, heard you were looking for me. Go Grizz. Because, of course, he plays for Memphis in Tennessee, right?
Right.
So then the radio analyst steps in, plays a little wingman for the basketball player, and says, man, there's nothing funnier than seeing Quincy Poindexter macking on Miss Tennessee on Twitter. She adds to that, I'm loving it, and yes, totally single. So now it's on.
Wow.
So he writes to her, oh, totally single, ditto, date. And then she writes back, you got it. We've got an audience
what?
Waiting, watching, apparently. So apparently there it is. That's how it happened. How smooth is that, though?
Very smooth.
Here's what I'd write.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
Well, that might be just as effective, depending on the lady, but I'm very impressed with the way he handled that, and be interesting to see what happens next.
I have to say, I agree.
Oh, you know what happens next.
No, what happens next?
You know. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeat Show, shall we?
I love fish. Some men do not like the taste. I do.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Great. We're going to have Nick Walenda in the studio, and he comes from a long line of dyers. Maybe that's not the way
don't live long.
Maybe that's not the way I want to phrase it.
The falling Walendas.
Yes.
He's going to be walking on a tightrope over the Grand Canyon.
Why do you laugh at their death?
Because they continue to do this. That's why. I mean, it's obviously
it's a family business.
It's obviously a tragedy, but he has the opportunity to make a decision to say, I'm not going to walk over the Grand Canyon on a tightrope.
Right. This act, I have not done the, confess, I have not done the Flying Walenda research for this morning. I got time still, but I think they've been around for 75 years. I mean, I think this is an act that goes back generations in their family. This is just what they do.
And we talked about this yesterday after the show in our meeting, and we were talking about how many people in their family have died doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we came up with at least three.
Yeah, I think so.
Which just seems like maybe, you know, if you're one of the kids, you just go, all right, what else is available out there?
You know, it's not what it used to be a Flying Walenda, really.
Well, true.
So I'm really surprised they're all not just going to school and being lawyers or whatever.
I don't
like
know.
Like the business just hasn't died out because we're not really looking for daredevils anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
Walking across the Grand Canyon on a tightrope, though, I mean, that really does seem like you're begging for trouble.
Yeah.
It's a long ways across that. It's not just like a little bridge.
Didn't they walk across the...
Sure.
The Niagara Falls is what I'm thinking of. Isn't that them? Didn't they do that? We'll
know.
Have to look. We'll check.
We also have funny man Brad Williams in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. Nat Geo is doing a special on midgets.
Wow. They're
going to be here with him. So get your
Couldn't
questions
we have Peter
ready.
Dinklage come in instead?
We also are going to talk to Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars. Take it
Listen
easy.
Lisa.
Take it easy.
Speaking of that.
We have the movie beat because it is Friday. Ralph will tell you about the new movies. And speaking of Ralph, we have Kevin Smith. In the studio today as well. We'll take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Another day, another chance for you to get on the standby boarding list to go to Brussels, Belgium to see 30 Seconds to Mars. Also, Phoenix, Depeche Mode, Blur, Green Day. You like Brussels, Ralph?
I've always wanted to visit Brussels. That's one of the few countries in Europa that I've actually wanted to visit.
I hear Brussels is great. I hear Prague is great. I'd love to see both of them. It's the Rock Werchter Festival, and we'll give you a chance to get on that standby boarding list at 9:10 this morning, and then throughout the day, you can go to krock.com for all the details. It's Friday. Ralph is here. Time for our very first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I've always wanted to see Brussels, and yet I don't enjoy their sprouts, interestingly enough.
I think they have more than that.
I don't know. I'm afraid if I get there, I'll have to eat their sprouts.
Right.
I don't want to eat their sprouts.
Not a fan.
Keep your sprout out of my mouth, I've always said.
I've heard you say that many times.
Have. This story caught my eye because it was coincidental. I had just seen this commercial, I guess yesterday. And then this morning I read this ad about it, and it was so funny, the direct conflict of reactions, mind versus these people's.
Okay.
But you may have seen this commercial. It is an adorable ad featuring a woman who happens to be white sitting at her kitchen table, and an adorable little girl comes up to her who at first glance looks biracial.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, "Mom, I heard these Cheerios are good for your heart. Is that true?" And Mom says, "Yeah, it is true. Eating whole grain oats or whatever is good for your heart." And then it cuts to the little girl. She's poured the Cheerios all over her napping father because she wants his heart to be okay, which is cute.
Right.
And the father on the couch is black.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So in a very sort of indirect way, just in sort of in a, just a matter of happenstance, they're depicting a biracial family. In
right. It's incidental to the product.
And I said, oh, that's not only adorable, but also kind of cool that we're finally getting to that level as a society. Boy, was I wrong.
Not everyone appreciated that angle. Level.
Cheerios put that ad up on YouTube, and here are some comments from the comments section of the YouTube ad. Nice try, Cheerios ad team. I'm never eating Cheerios again. Good day, sir.
Nice try
Let me read this next quote here. Right. Shoving multiculturalism down our throats? When you know it fails, writes one segregationist.
When you know it fails?
That's right.
Oh, dear God.
Apparently a huge outpouring of hatred and racist remarks, a barrage of them yesterday on the YouTube section of the comment section of the YouTube posting from Cheerios.
Do not tell me they took it down.
No, God bless them.
Fantastic.
A marketing spokesperson for Cheerios said in the following statement, consumers have responded positively to our new Cheerios ad. At Cheerios, we know there are many kinds of families, and we celebrate them all.
Excellent.
I read some of those comments yesterday as well, Ralph, and it was hard to imagine that those were sentient humans that got up and wrote those.
Yeah.
Like, how I just don't even understand the mentality of that. I mean, they put something in a commercial that exists in the world. It's not there's no agenda there. They're not forcing you to do anything.
I beg to differ. They're shoving multiculturalism down our throats is what they're doing.
They're just showing actors playing a family. That's all they're doing.
No, man. No, they're trying to shove their biracial multiculturalism down my throat.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war.
I'm never eating Cheerios again.
It's going down.
It's
going down.
That's right. It's a race war.
Race war.
I don't think that's
and I'm not ever eating a Cheerio again. Good day, sir. From now on, I will just eat my cereal, Special KKK. That's what I like to eat. I'm not eating your biracial Cheerios.
Thank God they didn't buckle to that stupidity.
Your multi-grain Cheerios with your multi-races.
They shouldn't be putting those grains. Multi-grains down my throat.
So all those grains together in one cereal, that's unacceptable.
I saw that commercial, I was like, oh, that is so cool. And then the next day,
wow,
the douchebags hit the internet.
I think they live there.
We need to close it down.
Close the internet?
Yeah, the internet has not worked out. I think now the jury is in is not a good thing, really, for anyone.
Time.
We've looked at it. It's been a long time. About 10 years or so. It's been well investigated. It's just a bad thing. Bad things have happened. Grumpy Cat got a movie, and now the racists are attacking Cheerios.
I think it's time to unplug.
Yes, we have our answer, people. Farrah Abraham.
Farrah Abramson?
Or as Kevin calls her, Farrah Abramson. She is commenting on her haters, telling Us Weekly magazine that anyone who hates her is just a negative person. Anyone who calls her names or gives her a hard time for making a porno tape in the same breath as saying she wants to be a role model for teen moms.
Right.
Is just a negative person because they don't like, this is her quote, people who work their asses off, care about what they look like, and care about impacting the world.
I heard asses and impacting. That's all I heard.
Well, she did work her ass off in that video. That's for sure.
It's the subtitle of the movie. Yes. I'm a positive person, and I'm positive I hate her. But it's not because she did porn. I love that she did porn. It's that she's stupid. That's why I hate her.
But she's impacting the world.
Yeah.
And her colon. Christina Hendricks just keeps getting better and better and better. Kevin, you're missing out not watching the Madman.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
that is true.
She's been spectacular this season, and she's just got one of those
retro diabolical hourglass bodies. It's just maddening.
She looks great.
I can't say that I wasn't pleased to see the synopsis of this week's episode, which included the line, Joan goes to the beach.
Yeah, looking forward to that. She says, Us Weekly Magazine, that she never ever wears sweatpants at home because she doesn't think it's sexy enough for her husband. Come on!
Okay. All right.
That's some attention to detail right there. She said, I would never do that to my husband after only 3 years of marriage. Which means, like, year five, you're going to get a lot of sweatpants. But first 3 years, just nothing but just bounce,
bow, bow. God, is she hot. Look at that rack.
Lingerie and what have you.
See, ladies, you can try. It's okay to try.
A little effort. A little something.
Well, I mean,
a little something for the drummer.
You guys try so hard. We certainly
should.
How
thank dare you, madam. I am always perfectly groomed at all times.
Oh, I thought that was a compliment.
Another woman has come forward saying she gave birth to Justin Bieber's baby. Why would you admit to that if
no
that was the case?
No kidding.
She is a woman from, well, here's a surprise, Florida.
When you say woman, how old is she?
She's 25.
Oh, all right.
He's 19.
Right.
So do the math. She said they met at a TGI Fridays in Florida back in February of 2010.
Okay.
So he would have been 16?
All right.
She would have been 22?
Uh-huh. Sounds like rape.
She claims her daughter was born in October of 2010 and does look a lot like Justin did at that same age. Probably looks a lot like Justin now.
Yeah, all babies look like Justin Bieber.
Especially female babies. The tabloid, Star Magazine, by the way, is the one she talked to, claims to have text messages from Justin to the woman in question, including this one. Our little secret? Question mark.
Okay.
Why is she coming forward now?
Money.
Yeah, he's got lots now.
Yeah, but why not 2 years ago when the baby was born?
I don't know.
Don't know.
I don't know.
It's always a surprise to me when these things linger like this.
And it may be time for us to revisit our topic of people who have never done things that everyone else has done.
Love that topic.
I do, too. And this story certainly brought that to mind for me. Patrick Stewart, 72-year-old star of course, Star Trek The Next Generation, Professor X in the X-Men films, said he ate, for the first time ever on Wednesday, a slice of pizza.
What?
Yay!
How is that possible?
That's what I'm thinking.
How do you...
Well, he's a very classy, Shakespearean-trained actor. He's
but
a
in-
Brit...
He's been alive 72 years.
Ate his first slice of pizza.
What?
Did he think it was good?
He enjoyed it, Lisa.
He enjoyed it?
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
He said, I was only eating it because my fiancé and I were a little hungover, he told New York Magazine.
And this is the first time that's ever happened? What's...
He's a British actor. I'm sure he's been hungover plenty in his life. He said, I was baffled by the lack of utensils.
Because you just pick it up and eat it with your hands. Has he ever had a sandwich?
I was mocked for thinking that I could eat a slice of pizza with a knife and fork.
Well, you should be.
He said, nevertheless, he enjoyed it and will likely have a slice again sometime soon.
That's a great follow-up. Glad to know
He's
that.
He's looking forward to his next slice sometime in the near future.
So, by the way, I love pizza, and I only eat it with a knife and fork. Ralph, come back. Wait, come back. Hey, where you going, buddy?
Come on.
We're still friends, right?
Way to go.
Come on.
I'm with him. I'm going to bring that to a screeching halt.
I find that it falls apart, like stuff, especially if you have toppings, the stuff comes off of it. And I also usually have it with a salad, so I've got a knife and fork anyway, so I just eat it on a plate like I would a regular meal.
Can I get the movie rights to that story?
Why does everything have to come back to Bean's a freak? Why does it always have to circle back around to that?
It's not freakish at all. There's nothing wrong with that. It's food.
I eat pizza all the time, and I only eat it with a knife and fork.
Exciting story.
Why do you always have to be the weirdest guy in the room?
It's not weird. I was just surprised when because you brought up in the story that he mentioned the utensils. He was surprised you didn't have to use utensils. And I thought, well, I use utensils on pizza.
Here's Bean's mind. Can I just tell you Bean's mind?
All right.
Ralph says, nobody does it that way. And Bean goes, well, then I must.
Ralph didn't say that at all. He just read the quote from Patrick Stewart.
Someone said something is a consensus. I must be arbitrary.
What's the point of this story?
I'm just telling you how it goes at my house. That's
I wear shoes all the time, but I only wear them inside out. Doesn't the everyone?
The opposite of whatever is being said.
I always strap into my feet just with rubber bands and walk on the tops of them. Doesn't everyone do that?
Doesn't it make sense to not have the stuff fall off your pizza when you're eating it?
I always drive a car, but never with a windshield.
All right, let me just...
Who has a windshield in their car?
Let me just back up, though, Bean. You said you always eat it that way. So yes. You never are without a knife or fork, and you have never picked up a slice of pizza?
Oh,
that's
no.
Absurd.
I'm certain because I've seen him do it in New York.
I'm certain that has happened. Of course, okay. I'm certain that's happened in the world. But I'm saying when I have pizza at home, which is 99% of the time, I put it on a plate and have a salad with it. That's
You're
all I'm
dead
saying.
To me.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor-director Clint Eastwood is 83 years old today. I've never seen a Clint Eastwood movie.
I didn't even know he was alive.
Actor Tom Berenger is 63. Comedian Chris Elliott, best known probably for his work with David Letterman on his show, 53 years old. Actress Leah Thompson's 52. DMC of Run DMC is 49. Actress Brooke Shields is 48. Phil Kogan, our buddy from The Amazing Race, host of that show, is 46. Has there ever been a better in shape guy
no.
than 46?
He's lived to be 100.
Ridiculous.
He's a dick. Is what he is. Colin Farrell's 37, and drummer Andy Hurley of Fall Out Boy turns 33. Oh, I was never 33. I jumped right from 32 to 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Author, director, actor, our friend Kevin Smith joins us in studio in the 7 o'clock hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then we'll catch up with Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars, who has a big announcement for 30 Seconds to Mars fans on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. That's all coming up. First, though, it's Friday. Ralph is here. Time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
All right, it's summertime. That means blockbusters.
All right,
there
what do we got?
There will be a deluge of big action-adventure, big-budget action-adventure films from now until the Labor Day weekend. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. But in the meanwhile, there's also some interesting smaller films.
All right.
That get released amongst the mix. So you may want to check out one of those if the big-budget smash doesn't catch your attention.
Yeah, we need some options, frankly.
Here's your options for this weekend, starting with from what I can tell from the trailer, a fascinating thriller called The East. This is about a group of anarchists, terrorists, if you will, who execute covert attacks upon major corporations for poisoning the atmosphere, for letting down the people they're supposedly helping.
Right.
Really, a cool idea. Ellen Page stars along with Alexander Skarsgård. And it's terrifying, I think, in the sense that this is something that could actually happen versus a lot of thrillers where it's zombie attacks or things like that.
Hey, that's going to happen.
Yeah, okay. Here are some clips from the trailer from The East.
Another corporate figure has been targeted by the eco-activist group The East.
We need someone to get inside The East. In 1 month's time, I want to know the identities of every person who poisoned his company.
When it comes to breaking the law, most people can't handle it.
I can do it. This group's committed, and they're ahead of us.
An eye for an eye. It would be easier if we didn't feel the need to fight. If we just let go.
What's the potential damage?
Severe.
Britt Marling plays an intelligence operative who is charged with getting inside the East and finding out all she can about them, but she finds when she gets inside the operation that her priorities start to change, and she starts to understand perhaps the reasoning behind it. Plus, she meets Alexander Skarsgård and start making out. So,
right?
I mean, any woman, I think, would be swayed by that Viking god. Oh, boy, do
Isn't
I
want that,
him.
Ellen Page's real-life boyfriend? Is this the movie that got them together?
Don't know.
Don't have the answer to that one, but sure, that's out there somewhere if you want to
Being asked
that.
Questions that we don't know.
Kings of Summer is another movie that's coming out this weekend. It looks. What happened?
Oh, Alison
Brie. So excited about this movie.
Alison Brie.
Looks so funny.
He won't go, but he's excited about it. It's looks like a charming coming of age story of three teenage friends who, in an act of independence, decide to build themselves a house in the woods and live off the land so they don't have to spend the summer with their families. Looks charming. Nick Offerman stars as one of the dads. Here's a scene from Kings of Summer where it shows you kind of dad Nick Offerman is. He kind of loses it on the Chinese food delivery guy.
Grr, every time.
You see those wontons, Gary? You see the size of them?
Mm-hmm.
Those wontons are too big, my friend.
Everybody loves those. People ask us for the recipe. We won't provide it.
I can see the value of these now. I can have the kids from the neighborhood come over and bounce up and down on them.
Well, sarcasm,
like
I get
a bouncy
it.
House.
The poor man's wit.
My question for you, Gary, is how do you want me to eat these with my normal human mouth? Do you want me to unhinge my jaw like an anaconda? Should I put this in my belly and lay on the sun for 2 months? Digesting it?
My God!
Just the trailer alone makes me laugh.
It looks awesome.
It looks
he
awesome.
Is playing Ron Swanson, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, nobody awesome. Does it better than he does. Should I unhinge my jaw? He's the best.
Also opening this weekend, once we talk about big budget blockbusters, After Earth opens this weekend with those Smith boys. Jayden and Will, that's right. Son and father team up to save humanity as we know it.
Son is turning me on father.
Yeah. Father hasn't impressed me much lately either. Will Smith plays Cypher Rage.
That's his name?
That's his name.
Cypher Rage.
You know you're in trouble in an action movie when you look at the name of the character and it's anything like Bobby Fury or Steve Anger. Well, Cypher Rage and his son Kitai Rage, they get stranded on Earth 1,000 years after events forced humanity to leave the planet. And now when they return, they find it inhospitable. Everything on the planet is trying to kill humans.
Oh,
it's bad. And so in order to get off the planet, they have to retrieve a homing beacon so they can be rescued, or else they're going to die right there on planet Earth. After Earth. Here's a scene between Will telling his, who's incapacitated in the crash of the spaceship. He's telling his son, Jayden, to retrieve that beacon.
This is us here. That is the tail somewhere in this area. Approximately 100 kilometers from here. We need that beacon. You are going to retrieve that beacon, or we are going to die. Do you understand? Repeat what I just said to you.
I have to go retrieve the beacon, or we're going to die.
Sorry, is that clip over?
Does he have an English accent?
It's got something going on. Look, Will Smith, this is what you need to do. Be wisecracking and punch aliens and Independence Day, Mission Impossible, Men in Black. We love that stuff. Don't try to be all badass and serious because it just makes us go.
Stop forcing your son.
And your kid, stop it. I'm the coolest. And all the girls love me.
You might have to go through that rap song again.
Yeah.
Ralph was playing it yesterday in the office and just can't take it.
After Earth? After Birth, I'm calling it. Woo! Bang! Zoom! Pow!
I'm not sure you can give yourself all that.
Oh, all right. And lastly, here's a movie I've actually seen.
What?
And can highly recommend. It's called Now You See Me. Great caper movie. I'm a sucker for caper movies. And this one is very well written, very well acted. It is a lot of fun at the movies. It will take you on a ride and throw some few surprises at you at the end. Here's basically what happens. There's a group of magicians that get together, four magicians, made up of Jesse Eisenberg and Isla Fisher at the head. Woody Harrelson is also in there. And they pull off bank heists, basically, as this team of illusionists, while they're giving performances to large crowds. It's a very interesting, original story that is very well told, and the actors are uniformly likable.
You think it'll be as good as Grumpy Cat?
I don't know if it'll be as good as Grumpy Cat.
Okay.
Mark Ruffalo stars as an FBI agent who has to track down the team and catch them, although they're kind of admitting that they're doing it at the time, but no one can bust them on it.
No one can figure out how.
It's really cool how they structure the whole story and bring it all together. Here's a scene from Now You See Me where Mark Ruffalo, is the FBI agent, has brought Jesse Eisenberg in. They've arrested him, and he's interrogating him, trying to get information out of him, but the fact is they just can't pin him down.
The instant that you even show the slightest crack in that smug facade, I'll be there. I will be all over you like...
Like white on rice? Sorry, that's unfair. Let me warn you. I want you to follow. Because no matter what you think you might know, we will always be one step, three steps, seven steps ahead of you. And just when you think you're catching up, that's when we'll be right behind you. And at no time will you be anywhere other than exactly where I want you to be. So come close. Get all over me, because the closer you think you are, the less you'll actually see.
I'm going to nail you.
First rule of magic, always be the smartest guy in the room.
They stand up, and Ruffalo's wearing the handcuffs, and Eisenberg has them off.
That looks awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool moment.
That really looks awesome.
It's really, it's a fun summertime movie. I think you'd get a kick out of it. That's my pick for this weekend, is Now You See Me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Movie beat. All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
106.7 K-Rock. Hey! K-R-O-Q. Nope. Kevin nope. Bean Show at 6:42.
Jared Leto next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Kevin Smith will be joining us too. Also, Brad Williams and one of the Flying Walendas is going to be here too. Guys, going to walk across the Grand Canyon on a little piece of string. What's up with that? First, though, we talked earlier in the week about this commercial campaign. I don't know where they're getting all this money all of a sudden to advertise FarmersOnly.com, but this is a dating site, as you might have expected, for people who work in the agricultural field, people who work on farms.
And yeah, they say, you know, it's hard to find dates for a lot of these people because they're a long way from, you know, civilization.
Pretty much. Right.
And it's hard to find somebody who understands your lifestyle, and this makes sense to them. And it yeah. seems to be a pretty successful business, but man, oh man, have they upped their advertising the last week or two.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, Lisa, if you met a guy, let's say you were single, you met a guy and you liked him, but then found out that he was a farmer and that was his life and he lived on acreage and got up in the morning at 4:30 to milk his cows. Would that be, that'd be something that probably would not attract you further to him, right?
No, because he, I mean, first of all,
you guys
farming
would be opposite
is
schedules.
Such
yeah.
a hard life.
Right.
And usually the whole family has to farm to make it work. So
and
then
you're
I'd
a princess.
Be milking cows.
Because you don't want to be doing that
That's
stuff.
Not happening.
Plus geographically undesirable.
Right, right.
For a city person.
I can't imagine.
Well, let's hear a little bit of the commercial Farmers Only that they're running right now, and then we're going to talk to somebody from the organization, find out a little bit more about it.
Where's Jill?
She's really lonely and out walking the cornfield again.
Yeah, see, these are talking cows in the commercial, talking
yeah.
about the farmers.
Do you think they will ever find us true love?
Not hanging out with us all day.
We used to be lonely.
Until we met on Farmers Only.
FarmersOnly.com is the new online dating site for farmers, ranchers, and good old country folks.
You don't have to be lonely at FarmersOnly.com.
City folks just don't get it.
Jerry Miller is the creator of FarmersOnly.com, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Miller. Thanks for joining us.
How are y'all doing today?
We're good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
So Farmers Only, you've been around for a while. Seems like you must be pretty successful with all this advertising you're doing right now.
That's right. 2005 was the first time we started it. And mm-hmm. our FarmersOnly.com, I'm proud to say, now has hundreds of thousands of members all looking for love.
Is that an exaggeration? Hundreds of thousands?
Hundreds of thousands of members
wow.
on FarmersOnly.com. It is a huge success, and I could not be more proud of it.
Okay. What is it you mean when you say that city folks just don't get it?
Well, they just don't get it. That's what I mean.
Right. Those are the words. But
yeah.
What are we not understanding?
Most
of us
are different from us country folk.
Right.
Okay.
With their science.
Right.
And their book learning.
Right.
And their teeth.
Their teeth?
Yeah.
Teeth? And their teeth?
Their teeth.
Are you in a barn right now?
And their homogenized milk. And their, you know, hygiene and
right.
washing up and things.
Uh-huh. Right.
And
nothing
so a
wrong
lot
with
of,
that.
A lot of people, you know, the city folk, they just can't relate to us because they're too materialistic. They're caught up in that there rat race.
What are some of those animals that we hear in the background? I don't even recognize them.
Oh, they're just my animals here on the farm. We got us, you know, chickens and
I see.
Cows and sheep and mm-hmm. you name it. We got it here on this here farm.
All right.
Well, why don't you have a telephone in the house so you don't have to actually talk to us from a stall?
I'm in the house.
Oh, they're all in the house.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
They're like family to me. I don't prejudice between peoples and animals. They're all the same to me because they're my friends and they're my family.
Okay.
And so they get free run of the house just like anyone else twere.
Oh, that's a terrible idea. A lot of those animals cannot be house trained, I know.
Well, a lot of my family can neither be house trained.
Well,
now, Jerry, you're the guy who runs FarmersOnly.com. What's your dating situation like? Have you been able to find a farm lady?
I have. I'm proud to say I'm a successful graduate, I guess you'd say.
Sure.
Of FarmersOnly.com. Done used it myself.
Right.
And
okay.
I got myself a pretty, pretty little girlfriend named Allison.
Allison.
Allison,
yeah.
All right.
All right.
And you got her doing chores there on the farm?
Yeah, she's here on the farm. Allison, please, pipe down. I'm on the phone, honey.
I didn't hear her. I heard your pig.
Well, I would ask you kindly, sir, not to refer to Allison with that kind of language.
Well, I just mean I didn't hear her.
Yes, you did. Oh. Here, come here, honey. They want to say hi.
Okay, but,
uh-huh.
But that is a pig. That's not a person. That is a pig we're listening to.
I guess you could classify her technically as a pig.
Oh,
well, that's not
what you're looking
at. There's a lot of similarities between people and pigs.
Yeah, but
really?
Jerry,
yes.
You don't date a pig.
Lot, some parts of a pig feel just like a human.
Oh my God. We got to go.
Here,
No.
Huh?
Stop. No.
No.
Stop it.
Oh, she likes that.
No. How can you tell?
You don't have to be lonely at farmersonly.com. Oh. You got yourself a pig.
Man.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she likes it, as far as I can tell.
Ralph, your boyfriend Kevin Smith joins us after the top of the hour.
Yes, he is, and yes, he is.
First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday.
Well, I just want to take this opportunity to clear up the controversial Patrick Stewart story.
About his
first
piece of pizza. Yeah.
Yeah. It turns out Patrick Stewart apologized for any confusion that he may have created with his earlier statement.
Okay.
It turns out it was his first pizza slice ever. He says he had never eaten a slice of pizza before. Let me explain with Patrick's own words.
Please.
People misunderstood, Patrick said. There was a school of thought that I had eaten my first pizza. But, of course, how could that possibly be true? I would have had to have stayed locked up in a cellar.
That's what we said.
No, he said. I would go into a pizza shop and order a pizza and eat a whole pizza. It was the concept of the slice that I had never encountered before.
What?
This is getting weirder.
He would always eat entire pizzas with a fork and knife.
Is he going into restaurants by himself only? Because it seems like if you have another person there, they're going to slice it for you. They're going to cut it into pieces.
Maybe he had the little fancy individual pizzas.
That's what I'm guessing. He must have gone to high-end restaurants to give you these little tiny
mini pizzas.
Mini pizzas that are gourmet that you eat with a fork and knife. Often they have like very flaky crust. They're not like the crust that we know like from a street, like Ray's Pizza in New York or something like that. So he said he had never eaten pizza, was not a whole pizza. They had never eaten it without a knife and fork before.
Okay.
It's weird that you could live in New York, as he has for many years, and not just at some time or another get a slice of pizza walking down the street, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because most of those places sell it that way.
Right.
My first comment was, there's no knife and fork to eat the slice of pizza with, but I was instructed to fold the slice. A technique that proved effective.
It kept me alien.
It kept me clean and unblemished.
What is happening?
It kept him clean and unblemished.
This is the biggest non-story ever.
He is a captain of a starship. He's never been on this planet before in this time zone. He's used to the 24th century, I guess, where they only eat pizzas with knife and fork. They come out of a food simulator on the deck, the holodeck of the Enterprise.
So bizarre.
The story before was better than when he clarified it. Now he seems even weirder. I can see you never eating a piece of pizza in your life if you're some sort of high-end gourmand. But to say, well, you're flummoxed by the concept of a slice and how to eat it without becoming blemished.
Blemished? Who uses the word blemished when you're eating pizza?
So he had to ask the 21st century humans advice on how to eat this food.
It's like when Kirk comes back to get the whales. He's just confused by a boombox on a bus.
What the hell's going on?
Double dumbass on you. He said to the pizza man. What the hell's happening?
Where's the outrage there?
What's going on, Patrick Stewart?
So awesome.
Weird dude.
No kidding.
You know what? Most days I wake up and the first thing I say to myself in the mirror is, I'm glad I don't live in Germany. But in this particular case, I'm sorry that I missed the live finale of the German edition of Next Top Model.
Why, what happened?
Because apparently Heidi Klum also hosts the show there in Germany. Mm-hmm. And during the live finale, two members of a German woman's right activist group called Femin invaded the set topless.
Yep.
Yeah. Their bare breasts on for all the viewers to see. And the bare breasts had a message scrawled on them. Heidi Horror Picture Show was called. See what they've done there?
Was it a good batch?
I did not see
lack of
boobs.
A better word.
I haven't seen these girls. These feminine girls are everywhere, though. This is their new thing. They've been protesting a lot of things in a lot of countries throughout Europe in the last few months or so. And yeah, it's a nice mix. It's a nice mix. You get some feminines you're happy about, and some maybe not so much.
They were only on camera for a few seconds before security hustled them off the set. But Heidi, Heidi, maybe not the quickest thinker on her feet. Maybe not the best improv artist. She said quickly after they came out, "I've just seen boobies in front of me." Heidi added they were the first boobies she'd ever had. Usually she eats her boobies with a knife and fork and had never seen boobies before on a set. They cut away to Psy to get away from the boobies. The musical performance by Psy.
Wow.
So okay. He did Vato Vato Boobie Man.
His new song called Not Gangnam Style, that one?
Not Gangnam Style, yeah. So if we lived in Germany, man, we could have seen boobs. Can't see boobs anywhere.
No, that's true. Nowhere. Yeah.
Good news for fans of NBC's Hannibal. It's just been picked up for a second season.
Dean told me to watch that, and I got to tell you, it's one of my favorite shows now.
Well, there you go.
So good.
It's HBO good.
I have not seen Hannibal, therefore I believe it is not good.
It's really good.
That's my theory. That's how I like to live my life.
You should
I'm
always...
not watching, so it is not good television.
You should always doubt me, but when we agree on it, Bean agrees, it's awesome.
Is great.
Can we agree that Charlie Sheen's show Anger Management is not good?
I've never seen that.
Yes.
And yes, we can agree on that.
Okay. It has been on FX, famously. Remember he had that deal that if it reached a certain ratings the first season, that his contract automatically rolled over and he had another 99 episodes tacked onto
it. Sweetest deal on television.
Dollars.
Yeah. Well, Fox is taking advantage of that huge order of Anger Management and the struggles of some of his shows over there on their main network, the Fox network, and they're going to start running episodes of Anger Management on Fox.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh.
Four episodes of Fox will start airing next Monday in place of the Mindy Project reruns that would ordinarily go there. So they're going to show episodes of Anger Management, I guess, in hopes of exposing it to more viewers and gaining more ratings for it on its home on FX. So.
I wonder what the appetite is for Charlie Sheen now on television.
No idea.
I just wonder what people think about him anymore.
None,
if anyone even cares about him.
None here. However, I am looking forward to seeing Carlos Estevez in the new Machete Kills.
Oh, that looks so great.
If you haven't seen the new trailer for Machete Kills, you may want to check it out. Charlie Sheen plays the President of the United States of America. That's some acting.
This is Machete.
Hey, Machete. Today's celebrity birthdays. Andy Hurley of Fall Out Boy is 33 years old today. Actor Colin Farrell turns 37. Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race, is 46 years old. Actress Brooke Shields turns 49. DMC of Run DMC is 49 years old today. Leah Thompson, lovely and talented actress. Best probably still known as Marty's mom in the Back to the Future movies. 52 years old. Chris Elliott is 53. Tom Berenger celebrates his 63rd birthday. What happened to him? He was a big movie star at one time.
I don't know.
I thought he was going to be the next big thing, and he made some great films. I thought, like, Major League. I thought he was good in that. And a couple other films, and then he kind of fell off the radar. Big Chill. Remember he was in The Big Chill? Don't remember The Big Chill?
No.
Kevin, The Big Chill.
You can say it as many times as you want. I don't remember it.
One of the great films of the 80s.
All right.
He rocked a mustache very similar to my own in The Big Chill.
It wasn't that good, though.
It was just that good.
Wow.
He's 63 years old.
Is there a mustache Hall of Fame, Ralph, that you can get in while you've got it?
I think you have to have had your mustache for at least 20 years. I think it's much like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You have to have a body of work as a mustache. You can't just go into some flash in the pan. And I'll be shaving mine in a couple weeks. So I am going to, however, shave it and put the shavings into a test tube and then put it up on eBay.
All right.
So
good.
If you'd like to own my mustache, there will be a chance for you to do that later on. Actor-director Clint Eastwood celebrates his 83rd birthday today. His birthday party populated entirely by chairs. He's just going to be Clint at a table with a cake and a lot of chairs. And he's going to have conversations.
He's screaming at the president while he sits there.
All of them. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Why is there so much discussion of how Kevin Smith smells today? What's going on? What's the problem here?
You don't need to know.
There was a moment somebody earlier, just Ashley, who drove me over, was just like, "Wow, you smell really." And I thought she was going to be like, "Good," and she did say "good," but it was the "good."
Like the way Stoner says it.
Yes,
I get it.
You know why that happened though? That didn't happen. You know what I was going to say? You know why that happened? It was because I woke up.
Yeah.
But this morning I sat down at Twitter, man. This is the first tweet I see of the day. Somebody was like, I just watched Chasing Amy for the first time. What prehistoric garbage. And there was a second tweet wow. where the kid, I guess he was like, maybe young gay kid kind of emerging and whatnot. I see. And he was like, their primitive attempts at understanding gay culture is ridiculous. And the acting is off the charts bad. So right then and there, I was like, good morning. Now I can put that in its proper place. And he's a growing boy. He's figuring things out.
I have to understand, too, that Chasing Amy was of a different time.
1996 we made it. I want to pull this dude aside and be like, dude, 96, give me props.
Yeah,
like,
you have no idea what was happening in 96 with the gay community.
He wasn't even born then, probably.
I want to tell him, you were inside your father's sack at this point. Or your mother's ovum. Every time I say the sack thing, people are very quick to point out, you need two, buddy.
That's right.
You never bring the egg into it. My mother even said that once. She's like, you always talk about living in your father's balls. What about me? I'm like, you don't have those.
That was a very unfortunate chapter in Kevin's book.
What about my eggs, Tiger?
Yeah, she said tell people you used to live in me. I'm like, people know that. This is getting creepy.
Kevin Smith is here not because he's flogging any of his regular big-time Hollywood projects, but because he and Ralph have a new location for Hollywood Babylon. This is the second week you guys are going to be at the Hollywood Improv, and it's tonight. Now, Fridays is going to be the regular deal now for y'all, right?
Yes, more or less.
For a little while.
Here's the thing. You got to keep people guessing.
The thing. We love doing the Babylon show, and we try to do it every week, but Kevin and I both have other jobs that sometimes take us away from our beloved Babylon
lives. For those, of course, here on the show probably know, Ralph's been off shooting the new Seth MacFarlane flick, and I've gone off a few times now touring with Muse, doing Jay and Silent Bob's Super Groovy Cartoon Movie. So there have been a few weeks where we can't get in and do the show. There's always a willingness. The spirit is always willing, but sometimes the flesh is in another state or something.
But it is happening tonight. That one is for
absolutely
real.
Tonight, 10 o'clock this evening.
At 10 at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose, the legendary improv. It's our second show. Last week, we were sold out, went very well. We're very excited to have a new home, so we're doing it again tonight. And then, of course, we're also going to do it at Comic-Con in July. If you're going to be in Comic-Con, anybody out there, make sure you get your tickets for that. It's the Friday night of Comic-Con at the House of Blues in San Diego.
It was a hostile morning on Twitter. I saw a tweet about that. Somebody said, hey, Daniel Tosh, how come you're not doing an overpriced, grabby show at Comic-Con like Kevin Smith and Patton Oswalt? And finally, I was like, well, I'm in pretty good company.
Yeah, but Patton Oswalt, what's wrong with that?
He's Ratatouille.
Maybe you should stop reading some of those.
I don't know. I think it makes me strong.
Addicted.
You got to know what's out there. You can't live your life in this cloud of like, everybody likes me and everything's positive.
Oh, no, I agree. But
so I feel my need to just put my nose down in it. Always know what's going on.
All
always
right.
be aware.
A lot of people hate me. All right, let's
flagellation.
Go.
There's always a bunch of people. It's like wearing a hair shirt, man, like back in the day, or hitting yourself with a little whip or something. You know,
Paul Bettany in the Tom Hanks movie.
As a Christian, you always have to punish yourself for anything good that's happening to you in
life. All right.
Because that means someone else somewhere is suffering. So naturally, I punish.
Do you mind if I ask you a show business question, Mr. Smith?
Because fire away, please.
You have an opinion on everything, and it's one of the reasons why I love having you, and especially in the world of sci-fi. We were discussing earlier how unbelievably, practically unwatchable this Will Smith After Earth movie is.
And saw it? Did anyone see it yet?
Not yet. No, we're just
unwatchable.
You're basing it on the trailer? Here's
on
my
trailer, I have no interest.
And all reviews.
My big beef is the marketing campaign. Every billboard around town, it said, fear is real. That's not a really good tagline.
No.
Of course fear is real.
Right.
And don't tell me the obvious. That's like water is wet. Come see After Earth. We're gonna reveal truths that big,
but
man.
There's not been a nugget. There's not been anything online. There's not been anything that got my interest in going
well,
down.
Well, my question
like
for you.
M. Night Shyamalan. Doesn't that one make you go right
doesn't
to the
it just seem like kind of the uptown version of what was Oblivion? Like, it seems like we just saw this
same movie
a few minutes ago with Tom Cruise in it. Yeah.
That's why I'm asking you, how does a big-budget movie with a huge movie star, Will Smith, how does something like that go so wrong when so many people are invested in it? Like, why are so many mistakes being made with the timing of this, with the campaign, with the slogan, with putting Jaden in the movie, with all the things that are dooming this thing before it opens? But aren't there people who stand up and go, no, we're going to lose money on this deal if we don't correct some of this.
I think, basically, Will Smith can do, like, what, maybe two movies a year or something like that? So if a slot opens up and Will Smith, the eye of Sauron falls on you.
Right.
And he's like, I want to make a movie with my kid. You roll. You don't think about anything. You just keep motoring forward. This business is so star-driven and green-light-driven that as soon as you got the name, you're off and running.
That's it. That's all it takes.
And so, that's the story behind this film. He said, Jaden and I want to make a movie together. This is the idea we came up with. We're going to be these two guys who come back to Earth after it's become uninhabitable.
So they came up with the story as well.
So they came up with the story, and his production company came up with the idea, and then they brought all the pieces on board. They said, this is what we want. And they dictated all of the decision makings all the way along the process. And
they didn't dictate that I have to go, though.
They did not dictate that, so. No.
I mean, everyone, look, I'm going to say everyone, but of course we all want him to do well. We like him.
I like
him.
Absolutely.
He's always
charming. And we like good movies, more importantly. We'd like
and we love him in space movies, like with aliens. If there's a space background behind Will Smith, you're like, oh, yeah, man, Independence Day.
Independence Day, right?
And Men in Black.
Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't want to see, like, fathers and sons working together? It's got a kind of Gordie Howe vibe to it when he was
like
playing with Mark and Marty.
I feel like he's shoving his son down my throat. I really do.
That
feel
sounds
like I
way
can't...
filthy for this early in the morning,
Kev. I feel like I don't – if I want to see Will Smith, I don't necessarily want to see his kid every time.
Now, has he acted with him prior to this? No, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where?
No, they
Pursuit
have.
Pursuit of Happiness.
Right.
He's 7 pounds,
right.
I think.
Right. He's a little kid. Well, this is the kid older now, isn't it? He hasn't worked with them since then, though, right?
He was producer on Karate Kid, they didn't appear on screen.
I got to imagine it's like you can see why it got to this point.
Of course.
Will Smith is just like, I want to make a movie with my kid. That sounds amazing. Like, I never imagined when I was the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, even before that, when I was rapping with Jazzy Jeff, holding a house on a cover of an album, that one day I would be an actor.
Right.
B, be so beloved and huge that, like, I could just say, I want to make a movie with my kid, and people will do it. And, you know, it's not like his kid is like, boo. You know, he's acted before. He knows what he's doing. So it's not like he's selling him a pig and a poke. So you can imagine, like, it just kept moving forward on the volition of passion. Like, this is great. Family affair. Mm. And then finally people checked on it, and they were
I guess I'm always surprised.
What is this?
I'm just always surprised when something is
fear
dead
is
on...
Fear is what? Real?
Right, exactly.
Fear
when something
real.
Is dead on arrival, yet it still proceeds and still comes to the marketplace and is still released, even though everybody associated with it knows it's a turd. That's what always confuses me.
What are you
going
to do? Shelve it? Like, think about how much money is behind it right now. This easily looks like a $150 million movie.
And
wow.
It's
not more.
Oh, it is more.
It's yeah. Okay. So what do you do with that? You can't just be like, we spent $200 million. Like, we got to take our chances. And think about it. They put it out in the marketplace. Even if the entire United States, like, rejects it in the middle of the summer, it's still probably going to do somewhere between 60 and 100. That's better than not getting your money back. And now, mind you, you're not getting that 60 to 100 back. They're only getting 50% of that figure back. And now you also have international territories where a movie where people are running around, there's a lot of action, maybe not a lot of dialogue, is going to be a much easier sell. So they'll make their money.
Is DVDs? Count then down the road?
DVD still exists in Blu-ray, but it's such a small number compared to what it is. Now it's pretty much VOD and Netflix. And those institutions, while great and getting, for an artist like me, getting the art in front of people as quickly as possible and as easy as possible is fantastic. When you talk to people in the business who like making money off this art and stuff, all they do is lament, like, oh, now I, you know, got to pay. They only give me $100,000. They used to give me $1 million for a title and stuff like that. So the business has changed completely. And so you can't go, like, video will save them. 15 years ago?
Not necessarily.
You could say video would save them, but now not necessarily. International is what saves them. China is what saves them. That's why you see
But they steal them, don't they?
Nah, they're trying. No, that's the misnomer. Now, there's not so – I mean, there's always going to be trademark infringement in China. I think it's in their national seal. Like, it's ours now.
Yeah.
But that's why people like Tom Cruise are going over there, or why Iron Man had a tie-in with the Chinese government.
Transformers 4 is going to be shot in China.
Yeah, they're trying to go, like, look, we're over here making the art, so please don't steal it. We're all in this together kind of thing. We want your money.
There was a story just today that they're starting a Chinese movie network in China that will have deals with the U.S. studios to try to get the material onto television in China quicker so that the piracy will be reduced because people in China will have access to their films on television.
Smart.
So they won't be pirating the DVDs.
And now, of course,
so
they're doing the exclusive content. So they'll, you know, for Iron Man, there were scenes that were not in our version of Iron Man 3 that were only over there. People who've seen them have reported that they were kind of like, felt very tacked on.
Just
like,
kind of thrown in for
China
the sake of it.
China will also help. It was right. literally that.
It's Tony Stark ordering an egg roll.
All right. We need to take a break. Our guest is Kevin Smith, director, producer, screenwriter, actor, author, podcaster, all-around good guy. You can see him on stage at the Hollywood Babylon tonight at the Hollywood Improv. A few tickets available, we're told, for $25, 18 and over. It's hollywood.improv.com. More with our guest in a moment on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. I want to welcome the Echelon members from around the world tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show for your man, Jared Leto. He's going to be joining us on the air in about 10 minutes with a major 30 Seconds to Mars announcement. Very excited about that. Funny man Brad Williams joins us in the 8 o'clock hour, too. Kevin Smith is here right now. Of course, he's with Hollywood Babylon tonight, along with Ralph Garman at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets available for just $25. Doors open at 9:30. Showtime is 10 o'clock.
When you guys see Amanda Bynes, you just go, yes.
Yeah, you know, that's so weird. Somebody who would never factor into my life without this show.
Right.
And because of Hollywood Babylon, as soon as somebody's like, blah, 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 Amanda Bynes, I'm like, ooh, my ears go up like squirrel.
Content.
I heard a story.
Last week we said she gave us the greatest the housewarming gift ever for our new location. Like, it was just pages and pages.
Threw a bong out a window, allegedly, and we had
Bynes material.
Tons of stuff to talk about.
She claimed the cops slapped her vagina when they arrested her, by the way.
I saw that later in the week.
Yeah. So tonight we'll cover that.
Oy.
Yeah.
Very excited. Hey, Kevin, Kings or Blackhawks? What do you think?
Honestly, I think it's going to be Kings. I don't want to get in trouble for saying this, but I think it's Kings Pens. That's my bet.
You do the same for the finals. Yeah,
that's my bet. Do you know right now the four finalists or the last four winners of the Stanley Cup?
Oh, I didn't see
that.
Yeah,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah. The Kings are the only team I could root for, the only team I don't hate. Because the Chicago beat my Flyers in the finals a couple years back.
Right.
The Pens and the Bruins, longtime rivals of the Philadelphia Flyers.
Pens especially for you. Hayes,
right? Yeah. Especially the Pens. So I can't root for them. So by default, and because, of course, I live here, Kings are my team now.
I felt bad for the Sharks, though, man. Like, as much as I was happy for the Kings.
I sure didn't.
They can never get deeper. What is it?
I don't know. They have the best team they can't go far into the playoffs of anyone.
They are like, it's not their namesake, but in terms of Sharks, they're like the Jaws Shark, which is like, terrifying to a point. Because all you have to do is stick like an air can in their mouth, fire a gun, and they're out in the second round. Yeah. And if that doesn't work, they're going to bite on an electrical cable and sink into the ocean, and then they're out. Like, it's a killable Jaws every time.
Although
I wish they would go deeper. I want to see them hit the end.
Although I don't. Although it was, it wasn't easy. I mean, they were not a pushover by any stretch of the imagination.
These were like one goal games.
Yeah, every game.
And they fought right up until the end. Yeah. So, it's been great. The playoffs this year have been even better than previous years, I think, because of the shortened season. If I was the NHL, I would be like, there's something to this shortened season.
We should do this all the time.
Totally. Like, just take a few games off. Like, it's easier on the...
I think players are healthier.
Players are healthier. It's easier on your fan base, who's just like, you know, some places you're paying $200 minimum to go see a hockey game.
Yeah.
Lessen the amount of games. It intensifies the season. The playoffs, they're all still like ready to go, and we're getting good games.
Although by this point, the Kings and Blackhawks play Saturday and Sunday. They play back-to-back games in the playoffs. In the Western Conference Finals.
That's TV, but in a world where they haven't had the play the full season that they normally do.
I don't know.
I bet you they're ready to go.
I don't know. Yeah. I talked to them.
And they're like,
be banged up. Don't you think everybody, on both sides, everybody has to be
there. That's true, especially at
this point.
After
a given game, you got to feel like hell, let alone a season and then a couple series in you, you know?
I say shorten the season. The only reason not to, I guess, is revenue, right? They're like, are you kidding me? Yeah. If you leave the building empty, we're not making money. But, I mean, you got to look down the road a little bit, not just the immediate, and be like, okay, if you're cutting a family a break, like, you know, you go to these games, you go to a Kings game, you'll see like 6-7 people wearing the family jersey, looking like the back of a car with little cartoon characters and stuff. And you got to realize, like, all right, they all got season tickets, because the chances of them getting this row together are nil and none. You know what this costs them, pushing them back?
Yeah.
Take just 10 games off the season, man. It's a little easier on your players, a little easier on your fan base and stuff. It gives people some time to spend time with their family, as opposed to like, I'm watching people I care about more than you.
That is communism, sir. You're talking communism.
I don't know. What am I saying?
At this point, though, with these four teams, any four of them could win the Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no question about that.
And also, even if you're not a fan of any of these teams,
agreed,
this is elite hockey to be watching. Like, this is, it's great to jump on. If you're not a hockey person, I never watch. jump on at this point. You're down to four teams. You don't have to worry about who's what, whom, who, from who's where. They're all from America, so if you're American, you can play that.
None of the players are, but all the teams are.
A lot of names are from elsewhere. But it's fantastic hockey to watch. It's the best sport on the planet, particularly this period is the best period to be watching the sport. Playoff hockey, well, NHL.
It's sounded
like a pitch man.
They should hire you to do commercials, by the way.
Fantastic.
We do take brief. Kevin, this won't surprise you. We do get emails every time we talk about hockey from people who complain about it and say still that no one cares.
You're still talking about that.
Yeah,
it's the same four dudes that write that email.
That's why we have Kevin talk about soccer once in a while to make it seem less annoying.
That's when I write an email. I'm like, no one cares about this football, sir.
Listen, I'm used to that complaint. What they assume is I care about that.
Yeah.
So that's,
you know how to
all right. Well, we need to leave it there, unfortunately. I know, but we have a thing.
We haven't talked about Superman shaving yet.
I wanted to talk about that too, but now we don't have time. Listen.
Can I send everyone there real quick? Hey, everyone go to howdoesheshave.com. There's a little competition between me and Blossom and the Mythbuster guys and Bill Nye, the science guy.
Everyone has a theory.
We all come up with theories on how Superman shaves. Yeah. Vote up mine because I got to beat Blossom.
Oh, it's a voting thing?
Your theory is the only one that makes any sense.
Honestly, to be fair, yes.
Yeah.
Mayim's is built on absolute fantasy. When I watched your video, I was like, this is predicated on a lie.
Yeah.
Mine, however, is real.
You debunked like six things in a row just right off the top.
It's the only way to do it.
Not going
to
work.
I should have been a lawyer. Never mind filmmaking.
Well, a comic book lawyer.
Nelson for the defense.
If there's comic book law, you can go there and defend things. But other than that,
think about what a specialist that would be and how much money I'd make because they're like, we got a comic book crime. There's only one guy to call.
Someone's saying Batman can fit everything in his utility belt. Can we call Smith and have him defend us?
That, sir, is an outright lie.
You can get more of these guys tonight on stage at the Hollywood Improv. It's Hollywood Babylon and its new location, hollywood.improv.com. Just $25, 18 and over. Doors open at 9:30. Show is at 10. That's almost every Friday night in the new location. Kevin Smith, thanks so much for stopping by, man. We
enjoyed it. Guys. Thank you.
Whatever happened to that band?
I don't know, man. They were good. Remember them?
What I mean? Remember when they used to make music and everyone loved it?
Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams, current album from 30 Seconds to Mars. Our little friend Jared Leto's on the phone. Lisa, now before I hit this button, you're going to behave today, right?
I can't promise anything.
Come on. Seriously. Be an adult. Be a grown-up.
Like you.
Says Bean.
He's not a piece of meat. He's a human. Hi, Jared Leto.
Hi, Jared Leto.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We are good. Thank you.
Welcome back from the old country. How was Britain?
Britain was fantastic. I am actually in Berlin now. I just landed in Berlin.
What?
Your life just must be... tell me again where I am. Is it
you
like
you are in a cave.
No, I'm saying, is that what your life is like because you travel so much?
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, this summer we're going to be in Sweden and Poland and Russia and Germany and France and Italy and Turkey and beyond. And that's just this summer.
Are they trying to kill you or?
I think so.
Yeah.
Let's talk about England for a second before we get to the news that will excite the 30 Seconds to Mars fans, because you did something cool yesterday where you kind of had an impromptu street performance. Tell me the thought process behind that.
There was very little thought that actually went into it. I grabbed a couple of guitars, Shannon and Tomo, and we went to a park in London called Soho Square, and we played a bunch of the songs acoustic, and it was total mayhem and insanity. It was nuts. I did it in New York. I actually did it one day in L.A. as well, and it's fun. It's spontaneous, no pressure, just a good way to connect with people.
And how many people showed up for that after you tweeted it out, Jared?
I don't know. Is it maybe 1,000, 2,000 people? It was insanity.
Don't you get worried? I mean, look, at this point in your career, you have a lot of people who really want to get close to the band, you and all the guys. Don't you worry about being ripped apart limb to limb when you put yourself out there in public like that?
I'm more surprised that we didn't get arrested because it was quite chaotic.
Yeah, and you thought there's got to be some problems here or we're going to get the police showing up any minute?
In the States, we would have gotten arrested. The police are very polite in Great Britain.
Right. And speaking of the crowd, let's talk about Weenie Roast for a second. You invite, as you often do, you invited the fans up on stage with you. And we heard from people that, you know, you were sort of sexually assaulted a little bit up there that night.
I was. It was a bit of an orgy. I saw a doctor to make sure I didn't have any sexually transmitted diseases, but Dr. Drew cleared me.
That's good.
Is that advisable?
That was actually our first show in a year and a half, so it was a great warm up, and always good to play. Play with you guys.
Yeah. Oh, we were so happy. We were so happy to have you. And man, did your fans come out. I mean, this is what's amazing about your fans in particular. And you know this. I'm not telling you anything. But this music was brand new to them. And they were singing along to every song. They already had committed it to memory. And that just must be so gratifying as an artist to see how quickly people love the new stuff.
It's incredible. We've gotten the best response ever to our new album, Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams. And it's encouraging because the album is different, so we're kind of going on a journey together. We're growing up. We're evolving. And I think we've made the album of a lifetime, so we're incredibly proud of it. It's been out for a week, and so many people have been so supportive. It's fantastic.
When you try to grow, as you say, try to not repeat yourself, try to make things a little bit different, is it scary? I mean, do you worry that people won't come along?
It can be a little scary. You let go of... If you want to move forward, you have to let go both of things that maybe don't work anymore, but also sometimes you have to let go of things that do work, and that's a little scary. But, and you may lose some people along the way, but you gain others, and I think it's important to keep growing and challenging yourself, and Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams is that album. It's that album. It's a lot of growth for us.
Since this is the voice of Jared Leto here on the phone from 30 Seconds to Mars on the Kevin and Bean Show. Since the last time we spoke with you, Jared, we had the distinct pleasure to have Steve Lillywhite come in the studio with us. And man, I mean, I know you've been friends with him for a long time. Man, is that a fascinating guy. Tell me a little bit about what he brings to the studio when you work with him as you did on this new record.
Well, first of all, he's completely out of his mind, which I love.
He is, yeah.
He says everything that he thinks, which makes him the best guest to have on any radio or television show ever.
Correct.
I have a much heavier filter than he does. But, he's fantastic. There is a reason why U2 and the Rolling Stones and, so many great bands work with him not once or twice, but many times. And we've had the pleasure to work with him twice is because he brings that honesty to the table when you make an album. And he helped us make a better record. He worked on the kind of four core songs of the album. I produced the rest, but he added so much to the process. We really love him a lot, and we're really grateful that he did it.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you ever get your feelings hurt when he says, something maybe you love, and he says, yeah, we need to change that?
No, not exactly. I know at the end of the day I've got the final vote, so... But it's good to hear that. I like to hear, if people have a point of view, I love to hear that. If someone says, I don't think that's working, I'm actually the first person to want to hear something like that.
Right.
And I find a lot of creative people want to hear criticism. It's valid.
That's interesting. Yeah, he really, to us, he just seems like such a problem solver. His mind just works differently from the rest of us, so he can take a look at whatever is not working in a song and figure out a way to fix it. And that's just, you can't put a price on that. That's just amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I like good creative people, and he's a lot of fun. He's very funny, too.
Jared's on the phone from Berlin right now, but they are going to be coming back to the good old U.S. of A. And as you know, they're playing the Hollywood Bowl on Saturday night, October the 12th, 2013. By the way, have you played the bowl before, Jared?
We have not. Our last shows in Los Angeles were at the Greek for This Is War Tour.
Great venue.
We're at the Greek, and then we played the Gibson. Which I believe is no longer.
Yeah, they're tearing that down. I think after you were there, they tore it down, I think.
Yeah, we blew the place to smithereens. But we played Gibson and the Greek, and both those shows were just some of the best shows we've ever played in our lives. And so, it really hasn't been officially announced. We're kind of doing it right now. We are playing the Hollywood Bowl. And, I do have an announcement about this show as well. For anyone who may want to see 30 Seconds to Mars play live in their lifetime, this may be the chance to do it. This will be our last show in Los Angeles for a very, very long time. So I would encourage people to come and see 30 Seconds to Mars at the Hollywood Bowl on October 12th, 2013.
Now, what do you mean by a very, very long time?
Well, I think that says it all. A very, very long time. And it's going to be the show of a lifetime. We're incredibly excited about it, incredibly proud to be playing the Hollywood Bowl. It's a legendary place. And I don't mean to be elusive, but it's just going to be a very long time until we play in L.A. again.
Now, tickets for that show go on sale Monday at 10 a.m. Let's talk about the presale.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about the presale. The presale that's happening today, if 30 yeah. Seconds to Mars fans want to buy them, you can do the K-Rock presale, which happens today at 10. Today at 10. You don't have to wait till Monday for everybody else. You can do the presale by going to krock.com, find out all the information, and you can buy your tickets today at 10 before everybody else gets a shot at them Monday at 10.
Yeah, exactly, and that's how it should be. You know, K-Rock's family, and you know, I feel like we've had such an amazing journey together over all of these years. I'm so thankful to you guys and so thankful to everybody out there in L.A. that has supported us and believed in us. We're so very grateful to everybody.
Well, we couldn't be happier for you for your success, and particularly this the worldwide instant success of this new record, which is just so great. We're going to be hearing a lot of these songs for a long time here on K-Rock. Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams available for sale everywhere right now. And again, the K-Rock Street Team presale is going to be this morning at 10 a.m. For all the information, go to krock.com. Make sure you are hooked up to see 30 Seconds to Mars. And check out their website, too, at 30secondstomars.thisisthehive.net. Jared, I know we'll see you again soon, my friend. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for the time.
Kevin and Bean, I love you guys. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon. Goodbye from Berlin.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Trying to hurry, but I couldn't finish my sandwich yet.
I'm on a party bus.
Hey, Brad Williams is funny, right?
Yes.
He will be...
Come on. I mean, yes.
He will be joining us in studio in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Friday morning, Rob's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, as you know, when you're looking for your source of breaking showbiz news,
you go to TMZ?
No!
Oh.
Go to me, Ralph Garman. Right. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's what I meant.
This just happened. We just got news that actor Philip Seymour Hoffman has just admitted himself into rehab for heroin addiction.
Wow. Yes!
Why are you cheering?
Yeah,
why kids?
Me?
Don't look at me. It's the kids.
Why would the kids cheer that, though?
Kids are happy he's getting help, maybe?
Heroin. Maybe. How long's he been doing heroin?
Well, that's the thing. You rarely hear heroin addiction outside of the rock and roll community.
Usually, a functioning actor.
Usually with actors, it's alcohol or pills or blow or something like that. But heroin is a heavy drug for an actor, especially, like Lisa said, like Philip Seymour Hoffman, who does an enormous amount of stage work, which requires a lot of energy and focus. So you wouldn't think that someone addicted to heroin would be able to pull that off. But he has revealed that he checked himself out of a detox facility for drug use today, which means that he was in. He has struggled with drugs in the past, but has been sober for 23 years, and then he relapsed more than a year ago.
Oh, wow.
First, prescription pills, and then graduating to snorting heroin. Mm. This is all according to TMZ.com, which broke the story. He quickly realized he had a problem and sought help. He was in a rehab facility on the East Coast for 10 days and checked out last Friday. So word is now the treatment is working. He is reportedly clean and sober and is already back to work, working on a new movie in Europe. So, apparently he recognized it was an issue and took the steps.
Good for him.
You know, it's necessary. So interesting, Ralph, and I was thinking about this when we were watching Nashville the other night, you know, when Deacon had his relapse.
Deacon.
It's so hard for non-addicts to understand how somebody can be sober for 5 years, 10 years, in this case more than 20 years, and then have it just all go out the window just like that. Because you think non-addicts would look at that and go, well, he beat it. It's been 20 years. He beat it. He's not an addict anymore. He doesn't have to worry about the danger of doing
drugs. You're an addict for life.
Well, apparently so.
As Dr. Drew would tell you, it's a state of mind that's constantly there, and that's the one day at a time approach, right? You have to
it's
be
amazing.
Vigilant every day because... Mm-hmm. It can happen. So, good for him for taking care of himself. And as I falsely stated initially, he had checked himself in, but now he has just checked himself out.
That's why the children were cheering.
That's why, because he's checked out, and he's in good shape. A 10-day program, by the way.
10 days. Is pretty quick for heroin.
Yeah.
I think that's just the detox, just to get over the withdrawals time.
Yeah.
That's not anything else.
You.
That must have been a moment of party.
No, that was not a moment of party, Kevin. I resent you saying that, and I wish you would think more carefully before you speak.
That was a piece of tape.
How about making money by tweeting? Can you imagine if Kevin could make money by tweeting? Every picture he sent out was just a link to Egotastic of some girl with big cans. Imagine how much money he could make on the side. Well, celebrities do that. Celebrities with huge numbers of followers get paid to endorse products. For example, Kim Kardashian earlier this week tweeted, "Pregnancy lips at EOS to the rescue."
What?
Well, she had a photo of her applying EOS lip balm.
Ah, good.
She attached that and she put that tweet out there and her pregnancy lips were helped by
that
the lip balm.
So not what I was thinking.
Oh, that's Lisa. Because you're a dirty-minded human being.
I'm so tired of your filthy.
You're
in the gutter.
You disgust me.
Wow.
Disgust me.
Hello,
disgust
Poon.
Me. And, they are estimating that Kim Kardashian makes $20,000 per sponsored tweet.
What? Wow. So that tweet got her 20 grand?
Less than 140 characters, and she made 20 grand just by putting that out there in the world.
Now, in 5 seconds, she can make $20,000.
Yep. Her sister Chloe clocks in at 13 grand per sponsored tweet. They've got a great list on AOL, I guess, did this story where they talk about the breakdown of who gets what. I'm missing a page here, so I don't have all of the numbers.
Is Kim the highest?
Kim apparently is the highest.
Wow.
I don't know what Bieber gets. This wasn't on the list. I can imagine he makes even more since he's one of the most followed people on Twitter, along with Lady Gaga. And he recently sent out a link for buying flowers for your mom on Mother's Day, so he must have got paid for that.
Sure.
Charlie Sheen does it to make extra cash. But to give you an idea...
thank God, because Charlie Sheen really needs it.
An actress like Ashley Benson, she gets $5,200 per tweet for her sponsored tweets. Bella Thorne makes $6,500 per tweet. So it's roughly half of what someone like Khloe Kardashian gets. Interesting list. Holly Madison, former playmate, former girlfriend of Hugh Hefner.
Right.
She gets $2,600 per tweet. It's not bad for a nobody like Holly Madison. Mike Tyson gets $3,250 per tweet. Lisa Rinna. Now, she should be doing the lip balm.
Yeah,
right?
No kidding.
Yes.
Send her a vat of lip balm to put all over those giant inner tubes she's got in her face. $975 per tweet. Less than a grand.
Still not bad.
Lance Bass of NSYNC fame, $650 per tweet. Farrah Abraham is getting paid for her tweets.
Farrah Abramson?
She has over 800,000 followers. She makes $390 per sponsored tweet.
Wow.
Most of it's for Vagisil, however. She's only got the one client.
Who would want her to advertise for them, but that makes sense.
And
KY.
Frankie Muniz still gets paid for tweets. $252 per tweet.
Isn't he worth like $20 million,
yes,
Frankie Muniz?
He is.
What's he doing getting $250 for a tweet?
How do you think he stays so rich?
Oh, there you go.
He's got 175,000 followers. So if you do the math, I could probably get like $5 a tweet. So anybody who wants me to tweet their product, let me know. If I just spent all day tweeting at $5 a tweet, I could lose
all your followers.
Lose all my followers, that's true. But I could make a couple bucks for a couple days. How can you love it? It's crap.
Well, that's true, too.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Andy Hurley of Fall Out Boy is 33 years old today. Actor Colin Farrell is 37. Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race, is 46. Brooke Shields turns 48. DMC of Run DMC is 49 years old. Leah Thompson celebrates her 52nd birthday. Chris Elliott, comedian and actor, is 53. Tom Berenger, who I was roundly chastised for saying, whatever happened to him?
Yeah.
He just won an Emmy. He just won an Emmy.
Oh, for what?
For Hatfields and McCoys.
Oh, that's right.
He was in that miniseries.
Watch that.
All right. So Tom is well and working.
All right.
Glad to hear it. Actor Clint Eastwood turns 83 years old today. Actor director, of course. And another update on the Patrick Stewart pizza controversy.
Yes. Another update.
Yes. Turns out, further research has shown that the pizzas in England are very different than the pizzas in the United States.
Okay.
They are small, thin-crusted, self-serve size.
Right, individual.
Individual size.
Okay.
Pizzas, not unlike the pizza we have here in America, they come in a very small, almost like a muffin or something. It's
okay,
just like an English muffin. It's just a small piece, and everyone in England eats those particular kinds of things that they call pizza with a knife and fork. That's how Patrick was so confused. It was a cultural difference more so than he's just weird. So do, now we have the answer.
So Bean's just weird.
Bean is just weird
because
he eats American pizza with a fork and knife.
Right.
Patrick is used to his Brit pizzas, which everyone eats with a fork and knife over there.
Is there any update on what kinds of toppings, if any, Mr. Stewart enjoyed on his pizza?
Yes, he had Romulan pepperoni and Klingon peppers. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
If you missed, we just talked to Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars. They are playing the Hollywood Bowl on October 12th.
Yeah, blacked it out already.
Tickets.
Got them.
Go on sale Monday at 10.
Maybe I don't got them yet.
Unless you want the pre-sale tickets, which you can get by going to krock.com. All the information is there. The pre-sale is today at 10.
That's way better.
Today at 10. So that's obviously your shot to get them before everybody else.
See, I love the K-Rock pre-sale because, usually tickets go on sale for everybody at the same time. And this is a way to kind of get in and, like, screw all those people, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's awesome.
I think that's the idea, yeah.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. We could not be more excited to welcome back our close personal friend, Brad Williams, who joins us in studio now on K-Rock. Brad is going to be on stage tonight for two big shows at the Ice House in Pasadena. Two big shows tomorrow night. Also, both shows at 8 and at 10 each night. Tickets are available for just $20 for the low end. 18 and over, please. You can go to IceHouseComedy.com. Your good friend, the podcast partner, Adam Ray, is going to be opening as well. Brad, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm also recording a brand new CD, a brand new album this week. So if you guys want to be a part of that, even more incentive to come out and be a part of the show.
Now, which one should they come to? 8 o'clock? Are you still getting warmed up? Or 10 o'clock? Are you tired?
Like, come to the late shows because then I've had one beer, so I'm drunk.
Right. One beer? That's all it
that's
takes.
One beer.
One little beer.
That's it. You give me half a shot of NyQuil, I am gone. That is it.
Now, Brad, so much of your show, what makes it so funny is that it's so visual because you do very funny things with your dances and push-ups and everything else you do. How is that going to translate to to just an audio album?
You know what? I think just you get the audience reaction and you hear the madness that's going on in the comedy club, and then that's going to translate well. But I've also kind of, because I know it's my album taping, I've gone through my bits and kind of weeded out the ones that are more,
more
visual. If I'm doing cartwheels, that's not exactly going to do good.
One day you'll be able to videotape that, and then you could put that up.
Can you imagine?
People can see it.
Imagine if that technology existed, that would be amazing.
If only that happened.
Futuristic craziness, I know.
One of these days,
Brad,
dig up Thomas Edison.
I can't help but noticing there are a bunch of cameramen in here. What's going on?
Little people, big world. That's what's going on.
What's happening here?
Nat Geo is filming a documentary on me.
Uh-huh.
And I will say they're following me throughout my days, coming up to these shows, and we went to the Slide Bar last night, and I will say there is no better wingman than a camera crew following you.
Oh yeah,
that was awesome. because girls just pop up and go, "There's cameras! Oh my god, who is this young boy?" And then they start talking to me. Kardashians start popping out of nowhere, just like, "There's cameras! We should be on here." They're like, "What? They're filming a little person? He's not black. I don't care about this."
Here's what happened a minute ago, just before we went on the air. We were playing Imagine Dragons, and I heard the cameraman say, "Let me get a shot of you getting up on the chair." And I got to be honest, it's fascinating.
Yeah, well, that was about a 3-minute shot. I mean, I literally had to throw up a grappling hook and kind of scale it, and then. But once I got up here, okay, now we are good
now
to go.
Now we're ready to go.
What is the now Nat Geo? They do pretty classy stuff over on that channel, so they're not the freak show channel. What's their angle on filming you?
I don't know.
Didn't you ask?
No,
you haven't thought to.
I just see cameras.
That's not how Brad works.
Okay.
That's not how he rolls.
I just see cameras and I go. But it is kind of weird knowing that it's Nat Geo because they do like some nature stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's gonna be like a Steve Irwin type character. Like, "This is the native North American midget. Watch him in his natural habitat. Look at him as he humps the average size girl's knee. He's marking his territory."
Oh no.
Yeah. Well, you know, that happened yesterday too.
Have they talked to you about the controversy about you and you Mr. M word? Have they brought that up to you?
I've showed them a couple examples.
For those of you that don't know, midget to some is considered hate speech.
Yeah.
Brad's fine with it. He prefers it.
I'm cool with it.
He gets a lot of hate for it.
Yeah. I showed them some hate letters that I get from other little people saying that I'm totally degrading my people. And
you think little people
back.
Is worse.
I do, because I mean, little person, that sounds kind of condescending. Like, you're just a little person. Yes, you are. Like,
they
like,
pet you on the head.
Yeah, it's like, you're a person, but you're little.
You know? You're a chicken. You're a person McNugget.
Pretty much. Right. And then you got the word dwarf. That's kind of fairy tale-y. Like, you hear a dwarf, you think I'm going to come on air and just be like, hi-ho. By the way, across Los Angeles right now, all midgets' ears are perking up.
Going, heard that?
Somebody's in trouble.
These complaint letters you get, are they on full-size sheets of paper or just postcards?
They are shorthand.
A post-it.
Hi-oh! Professional comedian! Woo!
Brad, are you the only little person comedian there is?
No, there's another one, and you know what? I don't care. I'm going to plug her dates.
All right.
She's going to be, her name is Tanya Lee Davis, and she's going to be at Flappers in Burbank later in June. So come see me this weekend at the Ice House in Pasadena, then go see Tanya Lee later, and you can contrast and compare.
Okay.
Choose sides. Have like Team Jacob, Team Edward t-shirts.
Is there a battle going on? Is there a war that we need to know about?
Absolutely. There is a fight between me and Tanya Lee. It's like midget UFC.
It's on.
And it happens in the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese.
All right.
That's where it's going down.
And we're going to sell tickets to that.
It has been so great for us, by the way, because, you know, we live, the job that we have, Brad, you imagine we get a lot of complaints about a lot of things. A lot of awfully politically correct people. But since
really?
We have you in our corner now,
we
freely throw the M-word around now. And
yeah.
If anyone ever complains, we go, Brad Williams said it was okay. He prefers it. He said it was okay.
It's fine. I'm finding out that a lot of my fans are doing things like that. Like, they're using me as a reference.
But that's got to make the rest of the little people more angry at you.
Yeah, they're probably going to be at my shows this weekend, like, picketing. That'd be fun.
Picketing with a toothpick?
Yeah.
No. Didn't that happen to you in Florida? Did they try to picket one of your
really?
Shows? Detroit.
Detroit was
it?
Okay.
I did a show in Detroit, Michigan, and they were
that's,
out there.
By the way, that's strike one right there, doing a show in Detroit, Michigan.
Exactly. Well, they're mad because Detroit is the auto capital of the country, and I have to make so darn many adjustments to my car. And as you know, Kevin, I can't park worth a damn.
No. Brad's the only person that I have ever seen take up two spots and a driveway.
Well, you know,
with one park of a Mini Cooper.
See, here's the thing.
How do you do that?
See, here's the thing is I'm such a little guy that I have to overcompensate when I park, so I take up two spaces. That's how it works. And yes, that was not a joke. I do drive a Mini Cooper.
Yep.
Which I love because whenever I get out of the Mini Cooper, people just look at me and go, I knew it! They must give them at, you know, they all get a Mini Cooper at birth! It's awesome!
I have a picture of that. I came across it last night and I started laughing again. I'll have to tweet that when I get back home.
Please do.
All right, Brad Williams is here. He is going to be taping his new record tonight at the Ice House in Pasadena. Two shows, 8 and 10 o'clock, and then two shows again tomorrow night at 8 and 10 o'clock. Doors open an hour before showtime. You can get those tickets starting at just $20, by the way. $20 to $27, 18 and over. Adam Ray, who is also hilarious, your podcast partner, is going to be the opening act, and that's going to be a great show at the Ice House in Pasadena. Go to icehousecomedy.com. More with our guests right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Our friend Brad Williams, comedian, is in studio with us today. He's going to be owning the Ice House tonight and tomorrow night, taping his new special. If you want tickets, you can go to icehousecomedy.com. By the way, Brad, I know the cameras have been following you around.
Sure.
You said you were down in Fullerton this week?
Yeah.
Homecoming? Got an email from Kevin and Bean listener Edwin who says, tell Brad that I saw a banner with his picture on it in Fullerton on Harbor and Chapman. It says, Brad Williams comedian. Pretty cool. What's that about? Why are they picture up?
They put up a billboard of like all the local Fullerton businesses. So there's stuff for like Slide Bar and like their Roscoe's Famous Deli. And then they asked me, they're like, you're kind of a landmark of Fullerton.
All right.
Which I thought, yeah, I am kind of a landmark of Fullerton. People walk by, they take pictures of me, birds poop on me. Yeah, sure. I'm kind of a landmark, and they put up a billboard of me. And the funny part is next to my picture on the billboard, it says actual size.
Oh,
because it is about actual size too. Like if you put that thing right next to me, it's about then. Yeah, I've been spending a lot of time in Fullerton recently. I've been on the road so much, but the last couple weeks I've been able to be home. I actually had a couple of guys over to watch the NBA games.
Full size guys or
no?
No, not full size.
No, I had dwarf buddies. But believe it or not, I do have dwarf friends. They don't all hate me. So these two guys came over and watching the Heat Pacers.
Right.
And all of a sudden they get into an argument about they get into an argument about LeBron James and what he needs to do. One guy's like, he's got to take over the game. The other guy's like, no, it's got to be a team player. And I'm sitting there going, you guys are midgets telling a 6'9" black guy how to play basketball. Shut up.
Maybe he knows more than you do.
Just maybe. Like, see, you got to know who you are. I'm a dwarf. I don't tell black guys how to play basketball the same way Asians don't tell NASCAR guys how to turn left. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, no, you have to hit the brake. And then you hit the crutch and a Jeff Gordon, a left hand turn.
Send that hate to @FunnyBrad.
Yeah, no kidding. Leave us Twitter. The hell out of it. Brad, I know that it's you're used to it now, but you do get looked still when you go out in public. But sure. What's it like when you go out in public with your other dwarf friends and there's just a bunch of you running around?
Oh, they just all think that, like, it's like Mordor come to life.
I would run the other way.
Yeah.
You're afraid?
What's going on?
It's the apocalypse. The dwarves are riding. They think Peter Jackson is shooting a new Lord of the Rings movie. Right. Like, they start looking around for cameras. If there's a battle scene, everyone expects us to be holding a battle axe for some odd reason. I don't know why.
Beware of the midgets. Yeah. They're taking over the world.
We are. But the best, though, the best reaction we get is from black guys.
How come?
I don't know what it is. I think it's just because black people are very honest. Like, white people, when they see me, they've been taught, you know, don't say anything. You'll offend someone. So the kids are, like, very, very reserved. Then you got the Mexican kids. Like, they say stuff, but they say it in Spanish because they think I don't understand it.
Right.
It's like, I live in Southern California. It's like, I speak a little, so I know what you're saying. And they're like, mira, mira, es un chiquito con cabeza grande. Mira. So the mom hits him. Do not look into his eyes. It's a chupacabra. Did you just call me a goat sucker? No. But then the black guys, they see me, they get happy as hell. Like, oh, hell yeah. They just run up to me. What the hell is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I got rims bigger than you, man. It's great. I love the honesty.
Yeah, is that what you prefer? You prefer people just to come straight on and be honest.
Sure. Don't pretend
it's not happening. We all know it's happening, right? Yeah. So just address it.
Don't do that thing where you pretend like you're talking on your phone, but you're trying to take a picture.
Right.
That happens all the time.
I thought I did that pretty well, but apparently not.
No. I spotted you, sir. I'm going to take a picture of the guy.
How dare you?
But, it's always, like, people try to just hide it. Like, no, like, I see you're bending your knees. You don't bend your knees when you talk on the phone.
How do you know?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You have more experience at that than I do. Exactly. So.
I do. Yeah. So, awesome. Yeah. It's always weird to get strange reactions like that. And
but
then
it's not bad enough that you're 4'4", and I don't mean bad enough. I mean, it's not bad enough. That's
you
what
mean
I meant.
Not awesome enough?
That's what I meant, yeah.
Woo!
But you look just like Wee Man. That has to be that has to be maybe even a bigger problem.
That, and I had the camera guys follow me yesterday, so it was even more so. People were like, oh, there's a new Jackass movie.
Right.
They're all like running up to me like,
when
hey,
are you going
to
staple your balls your leg.
Yeah.
You're so tired of getting kicked in the nuts.
Exactly. Guys are walking up with shopping carts going like, want us to throw you in and like push you down the road? Like, no, dude.
That's not me.
It's not me. But you have a camera crew. Oh, so two midgets can't be on TV now. I see how it is.
You do look just like him, though. I mean, that's a curse.
They all look alike. When can we see you on the TV, Brad? Do you know yet?
For this specific documentary, it's going to be out.
It's going to be a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a while. But I know that I just got a call from our buddy Jim Jeffries.
Yes.
And the second season of Legit.
You're going to be on that?
I'm going to be on the second season, too.
Fantastic. Oh, so cool.
Woo!
I love that show.
Great. Well, yeah, it's a great show, and it's a funny show, and then you throw midgets in it. It just makes it better.
Midgets absolutely make everything better.
We really are like human bacon. we just make
for
everything.
For those of you meat eaters.
Yeah. Like, we really make, there's nothing a midget can't make better, you know? Like, I mean, because if your salad sucks, you put bacon on it, now it's a great salad. If your sex life sucks, you have sex with a midget, now it's amazing.
Yeah, there you go. Valuable lesson to all take
good
away today.
Good tip for everybody right there.
If you follow Brad on Twitter, you have seen many, many pictures of many, many hot chicks.
Yes,
with
you have.
Brad
knows a lot of ladies. All right.
All right.
Four shows at the Ice House in Pasadena this weekend. Please go out tonight and or tomorrow night and see Brad Williams. Go to icehousecomedy.com. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, guys, as always.
Thank you.
Nick Walenda is going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is a tightrope walker. That's his job, is to stand on a piece of wire, basically, and walk across, in this case, the Grand Canyon in a couple of weeks.
Isn't
That's
that
what
miles,
he does for a
isn't
living.
Isn't that miles across?
I don't know.
I don't know the distance he's going to be walking, but he is going to be 1,500 feet from the ground walking on a wire. So we'll talk to Mr. Melinda about that coming up in just a few minutes. First, though, here's a name I haven't thought much about lately, but Manny Ramirez, you guys, former Dodger, former Red Sox, still playing baseball, now in Taiwan. Apparently he is 41 years old, just turned 40 this week. And he's, of course, not good enough to play in the major leagues in America anymore. But in Taiwan, he's become a little bit of a sensation over there.
You want to hear a home run call from their announcer?
Yes, I do, more than anything.
Manny Ramirez! That is a two-run home run! Manny 来到台湾之后啊，终于开轰了！ 哇, 在七局的上半, 犀牛, 跑着 Manny Ramirez!
He must look like a monster over there.
He's a big dude with those dreadlocks, too. And you've never seen anyone run slower than Manny Ramirez these days, by the way. He's batting 344, has hit seven home runs, and 35 RBIs in 35 games playing for a team called the Rhinos. And we thought we'd find out how Manny's enjoying life in Taiwan and how he celebrated his birthday, too. We've got him on the phone with us now on the Kevin Amici Show. Hey, Manny, welcome back.
All right. Manny Ramirez, I love his home run. He will play baseball. It's many time happy smile on my face, Manny Ramirez.
Oh, you have a horn. How about that?
I believe Beer Mug has a horn, but it's okay.
Manny, tell me about playing and, even more importantly, living in Taiwan. What kind of a culture shock is that for you?
Oh, I love Taiwan. Taiwan is the best place in the world for Manny Ramirez. Manny Ramirez come and everybody loves him. And they say, hey, Manny Ramirez, how are you? I say, I'm doing good. Okay, they throw baseball at me. I hit home run. Everybody happy. I'm the Hulk. And everybody dressed like the Hulk. They do all the things I love. Hooray.
Was that one sentence?
What about communicating with your teammates? Do you have a full-time translator that's with you in the dugout so you can speak with them?
No, Manny Ramirez learned how to speak Mandarin.
What? You don't know how to speak Mandarin in Taiwan? But in Taiwan? What are you saying?
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Are you a zebra?
I don't even understand the question. No.
All right. No. Hey, pretty lady.
Yes.
I have herpes.
Well, that is attractive.
You don't open with that, man. That's not how you get a lady.
Manny Ramirez go to the doctor because Manny Ramirez looked down at little Manny Ramirez inside his pants. And he said to his wife, hey, wife, Manny Ramirez have bump all over his pee-pee. And she said, you better go to the doctor. So we go to Taiwanese doctor. He said, gong, 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 you have herpes. So I said to the lady, hey, maybe pretty lady know about herpes, but I have herpes.
Okay, I'm not sure what we're supposed to do with that information.
Yesterday, Manny Ramirez said, I will have a big birthday party, and I went to see Lollipop Fairy. It was great. Manny Ramirez paid for four homeless people to come to his party, and we did wrestling. I was the honky-tonk man. Thank you very much. thank you very much.
What is wrong?
Manny Ramirez hit a guy over the head with a guitar. Since Manny Ramirez come to Taiwan, I've killed 11 people with a machete.
That's just not true.
Yeah. I hope it's
their
not true.
Their bodies are in the ocean. Don't tell.
Okay. Oh, Manny. Wow. Do you are you homesick at all? Do you miss your friends and former teammates back in the United States?
Hey, Bean.
Yes, Manny.
Manny Ramirez want to be a fireman when he grow up.
You're 41. When are you going to grow up?
Oh. Hey, how are you guys?
We're good.
I have a horn.
Right. Well, yeah. We're good. How are you?
I'm good. Yesterday, I read Goodnight Moon.
Okay. For your birthday, you read Goodnight Moon.
I had a bouncy house. I had big ballroom where we jump around in the balls. And I made a piñata out of a monkey.
A live monkey?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Oh, no. That's terrible. That's terrible, man.
I had
please
to clean
don't.
The guts off it when I eat candy.
Oh. Wow. This got ugly.
Hey.
Yes?
Yeah.
White power.
What is happening now?
No, not white power.
What?
Why would you say those words? That's absurd.
This sounds so funny.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Listen, we just wanted to wish you a happy birthday, Manny. We're happy that you're happy. We're happy that you're enjoying your new life in Taiwan.
I'm in Narnia.
You're not in Narnia.
I don't think you are.
All right. Hooray.
Okay.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
This is the end.
No, do not do that
beautiful
again.
Beautiful friend.
This is the end, my only friend.
Right, let's talk about the movie, though. The movie. This the
of end. Our elaborate plans, the right. end.
The Doors song of the same name aside, this movie does look awesome, Ralph.
By the way, they didn't use it at all in the movie. Imagine my chagrin, my disappointment.
A little too on the nose, don't you think?
How crestfallen I was. That at no point during the movie, This is the End, did they play This is the End.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Maybe it's just too moody for a comedy, that song.
It's about the apocalypse. What are you going to do?
Well,
come on now. That's a pretty moody subject. Anyway, this movie stars star-studded James Franco, Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen, Danny McBride, Craig Robinson, Emma Watson, Rihanna, Michael Cera, Paul Rudd. I mean, it's just, if they're not stars in it, they're making cameos in it. It's just, it's an endless cornucopia of comedy talent.
That's true.
It's coming to theaters near you on Wednesday, June the 12th. But maybe you're saying, hey, Ralph, I don't want to wait that long. I need instant gratification. I need my movies before everyone else sees them. Well, you're lucky. I'm going to help you out. I've got passes to the Los Angeles premiere of This is the End, Monday, June the 3rd in Westwood, California. All you have to do is call up the very simple phone number of 1-800-520-5-0-5-7-8-4-2-1-6. It's very simple.
Try it again.
1-800-520-1067.
That's it.
That's the number you should call.
That must have been a moment of party.
It was a moment of party. Hey, you know what else is going to be a moment of party?
What?
Freaking Expendables 3.
Oh, already they're talking about that, huh? God
damn, I love these movies.
I do, too. They're just ridiculous fun.
They're horrible, films, and they're so much fun.
They're just bad entertainment.
Because I think even they themselves, as they make them, say, these are horrible. But look at all the stuff we're blowing up and the catchphrases we keep throwing at people and the aging action stars we keep bringing into the franchise.
Look, we have affection for a lot of those actors, and it is fun to see them on the big screen again.
And it is just larger-than-life, cartoony sort of ultra-violence.
Yes, it is.
And for just to get in out of the elements, in the air conditioning of a nice, dark movie theater, and some popcorn and a Coke Zero, just it's a perfect afternoon.
But you know what's fun about that is they know that's what it is, like you said, and they're not trying to parade it out as anything different.
Not even a little bit.
Love
it. Well, they're talking about Expendables 3 and casting news today. Listen to this cast. Despite your usual cast of characters you have in that show, which, of course, is your Schwarzenegger and your Bruce Willis and your...
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, DiCaprio is not in it, but Sylvester Stallone, of course, the head of the Expendables. Listen to who they're adding to the mix this time around. Jackie Chan. They had Jet Li in the last one. Jackie Chan in this one. Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Mila Jovovich.
Wow. Right.
A female ass kicker. I don't think we've seen that in the... in the franchise up till now. And, wait for it, it's the best thing ever, Nicolas Cage!
Yeah! All they were missing.
Can you imagine just taking Cage off his leash and just saying, you know all that scenery over there? Why don't you go chew on that for a while?
That's great casting.
How awesome is that?
That's great casting.
He's just going to be just bat-ass crazy.
Yes, he is.
And I couldn't be happier, so... Good stuff for you, fans.
Weird Al Yankovic.
No, he's not going to be in it. Farrah Abraham.
Farrah Abramson?
Sure. She thinks all of her haters are negative people. She tells Us Weekly magazine that if anyone who calls her names or thinks her decision to make porn while also putting herself out there as a role model for teen moms, they're just negative. They're people who don't like people who, and I quote her, people who work their asses off, care about what they look like, and care about impacting the world. Well, she has made an impact on the world.
Yeah, has it been positive?
Yes,
I've
heard the Syrian rebels are going to lay down their weapons and go into negotiations with the current government because they all were busy watching Backdoor Teen Mom. And they said, well, maybe there's another way to peace. Piece of that ass. Patrick Stewart ate some pizza. Did I mention that?
Why isn't this in the news?
Ongoing saga. All right, I'm going to leave that one alone. But Justin Bieber had another baby. He knocked up another fan.
What?
That's if you believe the fan. She told Star Magazine that she met Justin at a TGI Fridays in Florida. Already I'm calling BS on this story.
Yeah, right.
Me too.
if she said she met him at a scissor party or something, I'd believe it. But TGI Fridays, I don't think he's getting the Bloomin' Onion or whatever the hell it is they eat at TGI Fridays.
And by the way, Ralph, have we heard any stories over the past couple of years about Justin hooking up with fans on the road or anything like that? This is, whole thing is new to me.
Well, this happened in February 2010, says the unnamed fan from Florida. She said she had her daughter in October 2010, and it looks a lot like Justin did at that same age, she says.
Yeah, as much as I'd like to see Justin go down, I don't buy this.
If he went down, he wouldn't be in this program. Star Magazine said that they have text messages from Justin to the woman in question, including one that says, "Our little secret?" Question mark.
Well, that's science right there.
I think he may be referring to the fact that he was spotted at a TGI Fridays.
Keep that to yourself.
Don't tell anybody I was at Fridays. I love that 2 for $20 menu.
It must have been a moment of party.
Stop it with the moment of party, Kevin.
Let's take.
And this is sad. How the mighty have fallen. Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill was spotted by onlookers recently, digging through a public ashtray looking for half-smoked cigarettes.
Oh, wow.
Then apparently he lit one up while driving around in his BMW, smoking the butts left over from someone else.
No!
He has truly gone to the dark side.
Wow.
Yeah. This isn't a deal where he's broke or anything like that. Hamill's fine, right?
Unless he's living in the BMW, I think he's fine, yeah.
Yeah, but, it seems like.
But why would you dig through an ashtray looking for
somebody else's? Yeah. Ugh.
Well, I was going to ask you this, Ralph. I'm sure you've had moments where you've been desperate for a cigarette. You haven't had one. You've been desperate.
I've never been so desperate that I would dig through
that was
a public
my question.
Ashtray and look
that
for
that was my question.
For...
Is there any way you would ever do that?
But, okay, so you wouldn't do that.
No.
But would you do share? You would say, "Let me take a hit."
If I knew the person, yeah. I'd want to walk up to strangers and say, "Hey, let me Bogart that cigarette."
But
so,
going through
I don't
think
he knew the people had left behind those butts.
No background.
Here's
check.
The only possible answer I can give them.
Okay,
is if he had to go into a store, if he was at a mall or something. I don't know where this public ashtray was, but if he's going into a building or something. So I have been known to take my habsy and put it out in the ashtray.
And then get it again?
But leave it in a location where I know which one's mine. And then when I come out, you know, I'm not going to, you know, waste half a cigarette. I'll pull it out and relight it and go about my business. So maybe that was Mark Hamill. I hope that was Mark Hamill's excuse.
The story that I heard is that he was driving down the street and pulled over someplace where there was an ashtray. If that's the case, that wouldn't possibly
look. I'm trying to help out Skywalker a little bit.
No, it sounds bad.
It sounds hinky. Speaking of addictions, Philip Seymour Hoffman, was announced on TMZ today, has announced he has just checked himself out of a detox facility for drug abuse. Hoffman had a history with drug issues in the past, but has been sober for 23 years until recently. About a year ago, he fell off the wagon, started using prescription pills, and then, he says, graduated to snorting heroin. He realized he had a problem and he'd get himself some help immediately, so he checked into a rehab facility. Down, Tater Tot. Rehab facility for 10 days on the East Coast. He just checked himself out, and apparently he's clean and healthy and looking forward to getting back to work in a new movie in Europe. So, good
that was a shocker story this morning.
Well, heroin.
I have never heard anything about, obviously, anything about drugs with Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's been clean for a long time.
Yeah. I've pulled over and searched through public ashtrays looking for heroin.
Yeah.
But
well, we've all done that.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Andy Hurley of Fall Out Boy's 33. Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race is 46. Brooke Shields turns 48. DMC of Run DMC is 49. Leah Thompson from Back to the Future franchise is 52. Tom Berenger turns 63. Actor and director Clint Eastwood is 83. And actor, Irishman, ladies' man, Colin Farrell celebrates his 37th birthday. Remember Beer Mug's in-depth interview with Colin Farrell on the red carpet?
You're looking fantastic, sir.
Well, thank you very much, man. It means the world coming from you.
He just busted your balls.
He's the best.
He's awesome. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 9 o'clock. If you missed Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars, he mentioned the 12th of October when he's playing the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And tickets go on sale Monday, but you can get the K-Rock exclusive presale today at 10.
So wow, that's less than an hour from right now.
Less than an hour from right now, you get your first shot at buying those tickets. And then he said something sort of cryptic, which is, we won't be playing Los Angeles again for a very, very long time.
Asked to clarify, he would not.
So we do not know what that means, but your chance to buy those tickets coming up at 10 o'clock, just go to krock.com.
I am very excited to welcome Nick Walenda to the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the king of the high wire. He is a seventh generation descendant and member of the famous Great Walendas, the Flying Walendas, if you will. And this may be one of his last ever interviews because he is going to be walking across the Grand Canyon in less than a month. Nick Walenda joins us here in the studio. Hi, Nick. How are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
Well, you seem so normal. You don't seem like a crazy person at all when you come in and shake our hands and look us in the eyes. You seem like a regular dude.
Well, I am a normal person. I just have a very unique occupation.
A normal person who makes horrible choices. Nick, what's up?
Well, you know, when your family's been doing the same thing for over 200 years, they actually started back in the 1780s. So for seven generations now, this is what we've been doing. I think my great-grandfather Carl said it best. He said, life is on the wire and everything else is just waiting. And for us, it's very true.
All right, I don't want to be insensitive, but how many members of your family have met their doom that way?
We've lost five family members over the years. Okay. The latest was 1978 when my great-grandfather was walking between two buildings in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and lost his balance, went down to the wire, which is what I would do. He was 73 and honestly had no business walking the wire at the age of 73. He just wasn't physically fit enough to hold on.
But at any point, does someone in your family go, hey, not good for our health, I'm going to go into something else?
Yeah, there are several family members that have gone different directions. There's actually 14 of us that still perform, though.
Is that right?
Wow. Nick, when your great-grandfather lost his life there in Puerto Rico, you went and finished the walk for him, right?
I did. I went back. It was quite an amazing experience for me, and I think it provided a lot of closure for our family. We actually went back to the exact same location, and I stood on the sidewalk where he stood and was interviewed by a reporter. I was interviewed by that exact same reporter minutes before I went up and recreated that walk that took his life. I knelt down right where he had fallen and blew a kiss up to him and then completed that walk. But to top that, my mom actually did that walk with me. She walked out halfway. She sat down. She actually did a split on the wire, then sat down, and I stepped over her, and we both walked in.
What's happening with this family?
Oh, my God.
How far, for folks who haven't seen you guys, how far were you walking and how high up off the ground were you?
Well, that walk was about 110 feet high and a distance of about 200 feet across. But the Grand Canyon walk coming up June 23rd on the Discovery Channel, I'm actually 1,500 feet up, and it's about 1,400 feet across.
1,500 feet up, 1,400 feet across. You have some kind of a chain and pulley system in case you fall?
I don't, actually.
You have a parachute?
I'm not wearing any safety whatsoever. You know, if something were to happen, the plan is always to reach down and grab that wire. Gravity pulls you down. Fortunately, the winds aren't strong enough to pick me up and lift me up off the wire and push me sideways. But I would fall down, and I would grab that wire and wrap up, and safety would be to me. Our rescue crews are trained to be at me within 60 seconds.
Well, let's talk about the wind for a second, because you brought that up. I mean, it can be super windy.
It can. You're right. We've done a lot of studies. This has been in the works for about 4 years now, and there's a lot that goes into what we do. There's engineering for years now, a lot of safety, a lot of studies of wind direction and speeds. And part of the preparation for this walk is I'll put up a cable the same length but low to the ground, and I'll practice on that cable, and we'll actually recreate wind speeds and updrafts of what I should experience while I'm out there, worst cases.
Is there an insurance issue, though, showing this on TV, having you do this live? I mean, there is always a chance.
Of course. You know, there's always a chance when you're watching a NASCAR race, too, that somebody could get killed in a car accident.
That's why we watch.
That's right. That's part of the lore of what we do.
But there are a lot of car accidents where people don't die.
That's true.
Seems like if you're falling 1,500 feet, you're not just going to get a banged up bumper.
Yeah, you're probably right about that, but there's a lot less people walking a wire than there are driving cars, too.
Well, you're not going to have to watch out for anyone else, if that's what you're saying.
That's for sure.
I hope. Nick, what's their live TV contingency plan in the event that you fall and can't grab that wire? Do they cut away?
Oh, absolutely. They'd cut away immediately. I'm guessing there's someone standing by that has his finger on a button ready to press it if anything were to happen.
What's this? Tell me about this wire that you're going to be walking on, and tell me what kind of shoes you wear for something like this.
Well, the wire itself is 2 inches in diameter. It's actually larger than what I'm accustomed to walking. Normally, when I walk on a wire, it's 5/8 of an inch thick, about the size of a nickel.
Okay.
This is closer to a tennis ball. The reason is because we have to put so much tension on that cable. It'll actually get tension to about 80,000 pounds of pressure, which still leaves a sag in the middle. It'll be sort of a smiley face, if you will. It'll drop down about 15 to 18 feet in the center.
Oh, my God.
And then I'll walk back uphill.
But the reason why we have to tension it so much is there's no way to stabilize this cable down to the bottom of the canyon. The numbers don't work out engineering-wise. In other words, the stabilizer cables had to be would have to be so big that the cable I walk on would have to be much larger to withstand the pressures.
And I could walk on that.
So it's just a bridge.
So because of that, we have to go with a larger cable.
And shoes, anything special about those?
They are. My mom actually makes my shoes for me, and she's made them for me my entire life. And they're actually a cowhide upper. They're kind of like an Indian moccasin. And the lower part of the shoe that actually touches the wire, comes in contact with it, is a elk skin. And the reason why we use elk skin is because we found that it actually becomes grippy when it gets wet rather than slippery.
Okay. So you're practicing, basically, you're practicing that distance now with various wind speeds around, but what can't you practice ahead of time? What won't you experience until you're actually at the Grand
That's
Canyon?
That's true. Practicing dying is always a challenge. You can figure that out. I'll find out a different career, I guess. But you really can't, you know, Mother Nature. You can't control Mother Nature, and that's really the unknown. We've done a lot of studies. We know what the weather's we've predicted what it's supposed to be like, but, you know, meteorologists, let's face it, yeah. They got a great job because they get paid to be wrong all the time.
And absolutely. You really only know accurately a couple of days out. I mean, it can change so rapidly.
That's absolutely
What if it's
correct.
Raining? What if there's a lightning storm?
Rain wouldn't be a huge deal. I don't know if you saw me
rain
walk over.
Rain would be a huge deal.
I don't know if you saw me walk over Niagara Falls, but it was, you know, I was soaking wet. I mean, it was dripping wet. Yeah. But lightning, for sure, that's something that we would definitely have to postpone. And we do have a rain data the following day.
Well, we have many more questions for our guest. Nick Willenda is here in studio. We're talking about June 23rd. It's a Sunday night coming up on the Discovery Channel. You'll be walking across the Grand Canyon, I guess across the Little Colorado River part of the Grand Canyon, about 1,500 feet high, 1,400 feet, which is what, about a quarter of a mile, I want to say, something like that?
That's right.
Wow. And also, Nick has a book coming out, by the way, next Tuesday called Balance, A Story of Faith, Family, and Life on the Line. I'm glad you got that written. I think that's good. That's available now instead of waiting until next year to do it. More with our guest after this on the Kevin Beach Show at K-Rock.
What a bizarre guest we have in our studio.
Truly.
Well, we're hanging out with circus people, Kevin. That's what we're doing here today. Nick Willenda is in studio from the great Willenda family, the Flying Willendas. He is the king of the high wire. He is a, do I have this word correct? He is a funambulist.
Funambulist.
Yes, and that means you are a tightrope walker, and you hold a bunch of world records. What are those, Nick? What do you have?
I do. I actually have six or seven of them, but everything from highest bicycle crossing on a tightrope to the longest distance on a bicycle on a tightrope. One of them is hanging by nothing but my teeth under a helicopter at 280 feet. One of them is on the wheel of death, a total leather contraption.
Don't you get those records just by attrition because no one else is trying them?
No. I mean, there's other people
out there trying to break your record of hanging from a helicopter
their
teeth.
People who have hung by their teeth. That absolutely had that record.
What's
for sure.
happening?
Nick, you walked across Niagara Falls last year. That was an ABC television special. And you were very upset that they forced you to wear a harness, correct?
I was. You know, it's something that I had never done in the history of my career before, was worn a harness. And about 2 weeks before that event, everything was good. We were ready to go. And they came in and said, you know what? We've got some bad vibes and you have to wear a harness. And it was extremely stressful for me because here I had mentally prepared for months leading up to this walk. And now all of a sudden I have something dragging behind me that I'd never had before. And
you feel like it may have thrown you off?
Oh, absolutely. My balance, just something unique. It could have got caught on one of these pendulums. I mean, anything could have happened. And to be honest, even though it was tested and engineered and we knew it would hold my weight, I would have went down and grabbed that wire. I would have never trusted that thing. And I was worried it would get in my way as I was trying to grab the wire if I had to as well. Because, again, my whole life I've trained a particular way, and now I've got something else thrown into the loop. It actually was a huge mental battle leading up to it.
Let me see if I get this straight then. So you walk on the wire, and your only contingency plan is not a parachute or anything like that. It's just grab the wire.
It's to grab that wire. That's right.
Well, what if you fall sideways? What if you don't get a good grip on it?
Well, you know, it's not as though you would fall sideways. And, you know, accidents happen. That is the reality of what
I
do.
Well, Nick has spent years on a wire. I guess he knows how he falls.
Well,
right?
You certainly know when you're about to fall.
Well, absolutely. And, I train for grabbing that wire. And, again, gravity pulls you down. It's not going to pick me up and push me sideways. It's not as though I'm on a pivot point and I'm just going to go, going. You know, at that point, if I started to go, I would drop down immediately before I got that far.
And then the director would say,
get off it.
And they go to some alternate programming.
That's quite possible. Although I think, you know, once I grab that wire, it'd make great programming.
Sure.
for a rescue crew that can get me, but I'd probably be beat red and embarrassed at that point.
Nick is going to be on the Discovery Channel on the night of Sunday, June 23rd at 5 o'clock, walking across the Grand Canyon. Now, the name of your book that's coming out next week is A Story of Faith, Family, and Life on the Line. Balance is what it's called. Is faith, is that something that is significant to you in terms of staying alive? I mean, are you a person who believes that God is looking out for you?
No, but I believe that I know where I'm going if I do fall and die. I don't smart. Believe in any way that God keeps me on that wire. I believe that God has given me a very unique talent, and it's up to me whether I train properly enough to stay on that wire. But in no way do I believe God's holding me up there.
And you started this when you were 2 years old.
I did. I started walking the wire at two feet off the ground, and it was a playground in my parents' backyard. I was the coolest kid in the neighborhood because all the neighbors would come over and try
look
to walk
this,
the wire.
Watch this.
That's right.
Wow.
There must have been people along the way who tried to talk you out of it, including other family members, I would think, right? This can't be universally acclaimed by everyone in your life that they're delighted you do this.
My parents definitely tried to talk me out of it. And I think more their point was not the safety of it, which obviously was a concern of theirs as a parent, but they knew that they had trained me properly and that, you know, I had to prove to myself, to them, that I was willing to practice. You know, at that point, it was 6-7 hours a day, 5-6 days a week. But it was more about the financial stability of our future. And at that point, they were really struggling. My parents were financially, and my mom had published a book called The Last of the Walendas because they thought it was over. There was no more, no more future in what we were doing. And so, they pushed me away. They pushed me to go to college, and that's what they wanted me to do. And I actually was accepted at a college and was invited to, for my last performance, to go back and recreate the 7-person pyramid in Detroit, Michigan, which the history of that and my family in 1962, they were performing in Detroit at the State Fair Coliseum. And the front man was sick, and he slipped forward, actually slipped down onto the wire, as I've said. But because they were doing a pyramid, six others came on top of him.
Oh.
Two of them were killed, and my one uncle is paralyzed from the waist down.
Oh my God. So when they say, do you want to recreate that? You say no.
Well, you know, it was kind of closure. This was going to be my final performance on the wire, not my final performance in life.
Right.
But, and I was going to go from there. I was going to go to college, and I was going to tell the world, hey, the Walendas can still do this. Even though we failed once, we're going to show the world we're still
around.
So
you wanted to redeem the name.
That's right. And then I was going to move on. But when we got there, there was media attention from around the world. And I remember taking a step back and looking at that and saying, you know, if there's this much attention, I think there's a future here. But we've got to change direction of our future for sure and change the way we're doing things. And that's when I committed that I was going to do things in a huge way. And I was going to do things that no one in the world had ever done before.
Hmm. Are there a lot of young people who have been inspired by you and your family and have grown up wanting to do this for a living too?
You know, there are. There's a lot of circus schools all over the country and really all around the world now. And it's a great form of exercise. It's fun. It's exciting. And I've actually taken people that have grown up in circus schools and perform with them. They'll come to my training facility in Florida, and I'll train them, our style, what we've learned over the last 200 years, and taking them on the road with me to perform.
Nick married a circus clown, he told us.
I did, absolutely. It's actually the bearded lady that I married, not the clown.
Well, they are perfect together, I'm sure. Well, listen, Nick, we're almost out of time. How long will it take you on the 23rd to walk across this 1,400 feet, this quarter of a mile that you're going to walk across the Grand Canyon?
We're estimating between 25 and 30 minutes is the
wow. Do you have to take it slow? Could you go faster?
Depending on the wind, depending on the conditions.
I'm not trying to push you, don't get me wrong.
Depending on the conditions, absolutely. I could if I needed to.
Can you take Kevin with you?
And then at the end, what kind of dismount do you have? Yes.
It'll be a triple Lutz.
Okay, good.
I will happily kiss the ground when I make it to the other side.
So this is going to be live on
the Discovery Channel.
That's right, June 23rd. Right.
Can we talk you out of it at this point?
You can try. I've got a couple more minutes here.
Well, we're excited to meet you, and we're definitely going to be watching. I mean, do you always think every walk is going to be your last walk, or do you already have something else planned that you want to do after this?
I have plenty more things on my bucket list for sure, but I treat everyone as though it could be my last. But when I leave the house...
Well, it could be your last, Nick. I got news for you.
That's right.
Nick has a big cut on his head, Bean.
I don't know if that should fill you with confidence or what.
Okay.
He's got a big cut.
Sunday night, June 23rd on the Discovery Channel, Skywire Live with Nick Walenda. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick Walenda, and it's nickwalenda.com or discovery.com for more information about the special. Great to meet you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Nice meeting you as well. Thanks.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Because fate favor for... Yes. Fortune favors the bold.
That was A Moment with Ralph.
Indeed it does.
What you said is true.
It does.
I think I still own it, though. I think I still have Mr. Moment.
You are, and you can have it.
I got anyone going after my crown right
you
now.
You can have it, my friend.
9:42 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, congratulations to Norval Gabriel from La Mirada. She is our latest person to qualify for the Rock. Wow, that's tough to say. The Rock Werchter Festival, which is going on in Brussels, Belgium. She might be seeing 30 Seconds to Mars, Phoenix, Depeche Mode, Blur, Green Day, and more. You can, too. Your chance to qualify at 12, 10, 3, 10, and 6, 10 today on KROQ. Please go to KROQ.com for details.
Werchter, I hardly even knew her.
Ha ha!
They must make that joke all the time there in Brussels.
That's what they do.
You probably have heard it.
Think?
I would guess.
Philip Seymour Hoffman checked himself into a rehab for heroin addiction recently.
It's really shocking.
He's just announced that he has checked himself out last Friday for a 10-day stay in a rehab facility on the East Coast to help him conquer his struggle with drug addiction. He has struggled with in the past, but has been sober for 23 years. That was up until about a year ago when he fell off the wagon, first with prescription pills and then snorting heroin. Wow. Is his drug of choice.
You know,
he realized at that point, hey, this is a problem.
You know why it's shocking, I think, is because he's one of those A-level stars that keeps his private life private, and you yep. really don't know much about the guy.
That's no. true.
He's probably a murderer.
He could be. We wouldn't know.
Look at him. He's probably a murderer.
But you've
he's
never...
That,
Kevin's
that,
right.
He's got a murdery vibe around him, doesn't he?
You've never heard a story of him getting in a fight or, you know, walking off a movie set or being late for a play or anything like that. He seems
he
to be able to...
the witnesses!
Conduct his business.
The murder!
What are you basing that on?
On the fact that he kills people.
I love
basing it on that fact.
That Lindsay Lohan, who's apparently not addicted to anything but Adderall, needs 3 months. Yet this dude's on heroin and is in and out in 10 days.
Yeah, well.
I could be wrong.
Smart guy.
I could be wrong. I think you can kick the withdrawals in about 10 days from heroin, but that doesn't address the addiction part of your personality. Yeah.
Right.
Look, if he's been in a program for 23 years, he probably knows the ins and outs of what he needs to do. I trust PSH on this one. That's just me. I'm saying go, boy, go. Patrick Stewart ate some pizza.
Yes, he did.
Really?
I'm shocked.
I'm not going to get into that story. That story got way out of control earlier today. Let's just say Patrick Stewart usually eats pizza with a fork and knife. He was surprised when he got an American slice of pizza. He didn't know what that was all about. He
and
never
then,
dealt with that before.
And then after that, we found out that Bean only eats pizza with a fork and knife.
I only eat pizza with a fork and knife.
Which we think he made up.
Of course.
You can ask my wife.
Hey, we're just telling you what we think.
Of all the questions I'd like to ask your wife, how you eat pizza is not one of them.
Guys, didn't I have a completely reasonable explanation as to why I eat pizza with a knife and fork, though?
No, not reasonable. Just because you had a salad and you use a knife and fork on the salad doesn't mean you automatically transfer those instruments to any other food.
And do you never eat pizza without salad?
Sometimes I have soup with pizza. I don't try to eat the pizza with a spoon just because I've used the spoon previously.
But I have it on a plate like any other meal,
so
though.
So pick it up and eat it!
You've never had it in a box where you just walk by and go, oh, I'd like another slice of that?
I prefer it on a plate.
So the minute the pizza hits the plate, all bets are off with the hands. Can't use that anymore. You got to use a knife and fork at that point because it's the plate rule.
What about french fries?
No, Lisa, you got to use a fork and knife when french fries are on a plate.
Don't
you know
really
anything?
Like...
Any food that's on a plate must be eaten with a fork and knife.
It occurs to me as you're saying this, and your level of outrage is comical, but it occurs to me that I don't really like to pick up food. Like, I eat burritos with a knife and fork, too.
Oh, come on.
I don't like to pick up my food.
Ralph, go kick the trash can.
Come on.
Don't
come
kick
back,
it.
Buddy.
We're What's still wrong? Friends, right? Any thoughts, Bean?
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Agreed.
I don't like to pick up food.
I can't pick up food.
This is what we live with every day of our lives.
But times 100.
I don't like to touch food. I guess that's my thing. I didn't realize that until now.
Back to you, Ralph.
What else you got?
I got a lot of problems. That's what I got. Hey, Lisa, this is good news for you.
Okay.
Les Mis, the Broadway show.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people hadn't seen it because it was on Broadway and stuff.
Like,
I'm not in for that highfalutin Broadway stuff.
For 100 years it was on Broadway.
And then it was made into a major motion picture that was a hit.
Right.
Yes. A lot of people went, oh, hey, that's pretty good. Wonder how that other thing was, the one they did over there, where live people would sing those songs.
They're starting it again?
Bringing it back to Broadway.
No kidding.
Smart move.
It's a great show.
Movie begets more box office dollars.
March 2014, you'll be able to see Les Mis on Broadway again.
Very cool.
You know, it's been running on the on London's West End since 1985. It's still there. You can still see it in London.
Wow.
It's the longest running musical play in history.
Have you seen it, Ralph?
I have.
I did not like it.
Oh, really?
The movie, the musical?
The musical. I saw the musical, didn't like it, and because I didn't like the musical, I had no interest in going to see the movie. I just didn't think the songs were that good.
Wow. It's been there for 25 years.
Some of the songs are
That's pretty
amazing.
Goddamn impressive.
Yeah, it is.
I'm not saying other people didn't like it. I'm just saying I didn't care for it.
Was it on a plate? Maybe that's what you didn't like.
See, this is where Bean goes, other people like it?
I don't.
No, not me.
He's just a contrarian. You're just a contrarian.
You are Conan the contrarian. That's what you are. No, I'm not.
See?
That was funny.
See what he did?
Yeah. All right. Don't applaud yourself because you said one word.
Bean has access to too many sound effects where he can just pat himself on the back.
That's right. I don't know how I feel about this next story.
Okay.
I'm torn. I know it's important for the health of the movie industry, but it concerns me.
Okay.
Chinese dollars. That's what I'm talking about. Hollywood's chasing Chinese dollars.
Yes.
So much so that in order to appease the Chinese government, many filmmakers are starting to incorporate Chinese elements into their motion pictures in order to pursue or seduce the Chinese audience, which is a massive audience.
Now, it's a bigger box office than America, or will be within the next couple of years, I guess.
Yeah.
But hasn't it, and maybe I could be completely wrong on this, but haven't they in the past stolen a lot of the movies and just show them and make the money and
piracy,
then Hollywood gets none of it?
Piracy in China is an enormous problem in many arenas, but entertainment is certainly one of them, where they will bootleg DVDs of current films, and then that's how they will release that material, not only to Chinese citizens, though, but across the world.
But what Ralph is saying is they're trying to develop more projects that Chinese will pay to go see first run in theaters, things that appeal to the people there.
And by doing it, it's sort of, I guess the thing that bothers me, not that they're pursuing an audience, because that makes perfect sense to me, but they're sort of making like cheesy, cheap attempts to try to cotton to a Chinese audience. Like Michael Bay's Transformers 4, the next one, is going to be shot in China, has a Chinese film star as its lead, and it's got a reality show on in China where if you want a small role in the film, you compete in this reality show to be in the Transformers movie. And I guess it doesn't matter in a movie like Transformers because how much cheaper and cheesier could they make it, right?
Yeah.
What negative effect could that have? But it's like product placement almost to me.
If it's too, it can be done well.
It can be done well, or it can be too heavy-handed, and I think it affects the result of the product.
It can be done well, or it can be done Michael Bay.
That's what I'm saying, basically, yeah. But the upside is Paramount Pictures is partnering with Chinese television company to create the China Movie Channel, which will show recent Paramount films, especially U.S. studio films, on that channel in an attempt to curtail the piracy by giving Chinese audiences a chance to see the product on a legitimate television source rather than through pirated DVDs.
All right.
So that could be an excellent byproduct of what's going on. That was a real story I just did there. Very strange.
Sounded real and everything.
Lindsay Lohan! Her mom and dad apparently have made up.
What?
Yeah.
Didn't they hate each other for life?
They've hated each other forever.
A day ago?
They were seen dining together. And apparently it is Lindsay's rehab stint that has brought them back together. Everyone is rallying around Lindsay, trying to get her well. Family therapy is a big part of the program where Lindsay is there at the Betty Ford Clinic. And so they're hoping to repair the bonds in that family and help Lindsay get well. Oh, wait a minute. TMZ is reporting Lindsay's mom and dad just had a huge fight.
Oh, come on. Since you did the story 30 seconds ago?
While I was doing the story, yes. No, literally, it was like that. Yesterday, there was one story about them getting back together and being friendly, and then today, there was a story about them having a huge brawl in a restaurant, embarrassing, loud, screaming match.
Yeah.
So maybe things aren't going to work out after.
I don't even know who to root for in that one, by the way.
Neither.
You, the apocalypse. You root for a comet striking the restaurant. That's what you root for. Today's celebrity birthdays, Andy Hurley of Fall Out Boy's 33. Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race, is 46. Actress Brooke Shields is 48. Brooke Shields has been famous her whole life.
Yes, yeah, she has.
And seems to have handled it with a certain amount of grace and aplomb. Mm-hmm.
She has a plum?
No, it's not the fruit, Kevin. No. We'll talk about it later.
All right.
DMC of Run DMC is 49. Leah Thompson, the actress, is 52. Comedian Chris Elliott is 53. Tom Berenger is 63. Clint Eastwood, actor and director, chair talker, is 83 years old today. And actor Colin Farrell, Irish, the chick magnet, Colin Farrell, who is one of the genuinely nicest, funniest actors I've ever had a chance to meet in person. I've done a couple panels with him at Comic-Con. He's a very, very nice guy. He is 37 years old today, and I always remember how nice he was to Beer Mug on the red carpet when Beer Mug was
You're looking at. Fantastic, sir.
Well, thank you very much, man. It means the world coming from you.
Boom! He cut his legs off, but he did it in such a nice way.
Nicest way.
That wasn't until Beer Mug tried to walk away that he realized his legs were at that point gone. Just genius.
Seeing Beer Mug and Colin Farrell standing together on the red carpet, you just can't believe they're part of the same species, can you?
It means the world coming from you.
That's pretty right. Strong.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his feet.
Thank you, Ralph. Next week, we have a great week of guests. We have Seth Rogen. We have The Lonely Island in studio. We have Bob Odenkirk talking about Breaking Bad. We have Josh Homme in the studio on Tuesday talking about the new Queens of the Stone Age album.
Woo!
Going to be a great week.
And Ralph, the Bachelorette, joins us on Monday.
That's what I'm talking about!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That must have been a moment of party.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
All right, now, and we'll get right back.
Roll another one.
I'm bored.
Just like the other one.
Bitches be crazy.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Yep.
And I need another hit.
You love dogs. Which breed best represents your personality and why?
Ooh, I would have to say a lab, because they're just full of energy and they're fun and everybody loves them.
Yep.
Roll.
Make love to my buttocks, Manny.
Just like the other one.
I don't even... What's the point?
This one seems to be about.
Oh my goodness, we're gonna need a bigger boat!
Another cent.
You know, if you mess with the bull, go for the gold.
Miss something.
Just pass it around.
I think she about to pull something out of her pants.
But don't that joint, my friend.
I love Jesus, but I drink a little.
I just pass it on down.
Pass it on.
With you. I don't want to make you any trouble, my friend, but this thing has gone far enough. As a matter of fact, it's gone too far, and something's gotta be done.
This is the end. Beautiful friend.
The end. Soon it will be the end, but not yet.
This is the end.
I regret nothing. The end.
My only friend, the end.
What the f*** was that? You f***. You're all f***ing idiots and you f***ing suck!
Well, that went roughly as well as I thought it would.
Fire Beer Mug.